The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Paul Perillo.
My name is, hi, my name is, hi, the show is
PFW in Progress.
Hi, the show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff, I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show, none can come close. Oh, how rude of me, let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something, oh wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart, sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said, one brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is
Paul Perillo.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, the show is
PFW in Progress and Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and we are buried under snow. But you know what? It's not as bad as it would have been if the Patriots weren't world champions. It just seems like, you know, the glow, the afterglow of that game and that win kind of eases the pain that we're suffering here with all the snow. You know, you think about it, it's like, yeah, you know, we were in Arizona and we came back champions. We'll deal with the snow now. It's not that big. It's not that bad, right?
Sure.
I mean, think of the alternative. We came back and well, it's losers and.
We've had that alternative two times before.
Yeah. But the snow here, for those people who aren't in New England, it's bad. We've had like 7 feet in 17 days or something like that. I don't know exactly the numbers, but it's a lot. We're supposed to get maybe another 6 inches on Thursday and maybe some more over the weekend.
Yeah.
So it just
nowhere to put it, though.
It's relentless.
Seriously, nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
My snowblower is blowing the snow into snow drifts that
right.
are
you
just
can't even
too
get
high.
High enough
I can't
to,
get them over.
Right. It just, the snow is coming down like Andy. Blah, 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 blah. It just doesn't stop.
I don't get it.
All right. The gang's all here, and we're getting ready for the combine, believe it or not. So I got a feeling that this show will be a combination of still people, you know, reveling in the win, but also now thinking towards 2015. Patriots have a lot of decisions to make with veterans on the squad and you know, what direction they're going to go in the draft.
Yeah. If Ask PFW is any indication, then yes, fans have already turned their attention to free agents and cap and reworking contracts and needs and all that.
I'm still playing catch up.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys.
But there's significant
I'm not prepared.
There's significant players that are under contract that, you know, either need to be let go or reworked, and then there's significant players that are going to be free agents in about a month that the Patriots need to make
a month
decisions
from today
on.
Actually,
yeah.
is the yeah. new league year,
and we have the franchise tag coming
on Monday,
right?
So
well, you could start on a Monday.
I mean, is that Gostkowski?
I could be.
I don't know.
He's already the highest paid, right? Kicker?
No,
no,
but he's like fourth.
Fourth.
Sebastian Janikowski has one of those stupid Raiders
right.
contracts.
That's right. I forgot about that.
With like 98% was guaranteed. He made more than everybody. He's up there, though. I think he's in the mid-threes, and he's probably going to go up to around four. But, yeah, that's easy to franchise him. But McCourty is kind of blowing in the wind, too.
That's a good one.
I'd rather franchise McCourty if I could. So, I don't know.
Because of the safety numbers?
Yeah. I mean, safety contracts, you're talking about $10 million a year type deals, long-term deals. You know, $50 million over 5 years. Whereas a kicker is a kicker.
Yeah.
No offense, Stephen, but you're a kicker.
But, you know, people say, oh, they're not going to be able to keep both Revis and McCourty. Well, they could.
Yeah,
of course
not?
They can.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you bring Revis's number down to where it should be in the mid-teens, well, now you've created the room to sign McCourty.
And people ask, well, will Revis do that? Well, we're also talking longer term mm-hmm. and a lot of guaranteed money.
Right.
You know, and he might do that.
And he might want to win. He's still, you know, wiping away the tears
of
victory.
You know, Jonathan Kraft was interviewed before the Super Bowl, or maybe it was just after, but he was talking about Revis, and he said, we all knew that the $25 million was a placeholder.
Right.
The fact that he's willing to come out publicly and say that means that that was set at the time of the negotiation.
Yeah, I think that was just after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. So that's no surprise to anyone, and so the fact that the Patriots are going to be looking to do that is not going to be, you know, a sign of disrespect to Revis or his agent. They knew that this was going to have to happen. It's just a matter of now coming to terms. But
yeah,
I think we all
you made that sound easier than I think it is.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of coming to terms.
Well, I don't think anybody thought anything otherwise.
Yeah, but I think
you guys figure that out.
But the point is I don't think Revis expected to make $25 million his second year. So like I said, now let's see if they can get this done. I think the Patriots see that he was a difference maker. He was, you know, if you look at the one to three reasons why the Patriots won the Super Bowl this year, he's in there.
Oh, yeah.
He's in that
we
top
said it
three.
At the beginning of the season?
Yeah.
It was true at the end of the season.
And they can do it again if he's there. I mean, if you don't spend the money on Revis, you have to replace him with a cornerback. And
well, you can't. I think it's even beyond that. You can't.
Well, but you have to replace him. You have to replace the body.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to get someone of Revis's caliber. You're just not. So where better would you spend that money, you know?
You wouldn't.
There's no place I can see.
I agree with you.
You don't need a quarterback, right?
Right. If you re-sign him, I think you are a favorite to go to the Super Bowl and defend your title. If you don't, I think you're just a mere one of the pack contenders.
And we always know that the Patriots go into these negotiations with sort of that, you know, unspoken ceiling that, you know, we're not going to go past that. You know, we've set the value on the player, whoever it is, whatever the value, and we're just not, on principle, going to go beyond that. I think here you might have to extend yourself a little bit.
But I also don't think they have a ceiling as much as they would on other people.
But if you're saying mid-teens, maybe you need to go to 18, 19.
Yeah, I don't know the numbers, but to me, they've always spent on elite, and he's elite.
Yeah.
You know, Mankins and Brady and Wilfork and whoever they've deemed elite, they have paid
among
through
the best
the nose.
At their position.
And that was,
you know, you started off, Freddie, by talking about the option that the Patriots will likely not pick up. And you said that Revis knew that he wasn't going to make $25 million. Well, what he thought though is it was 2 years, $32 million, $16 a year. I think he only made 12 last year, so he's going to make that money up.
Oh yeah,
he also knows that, and it was a $25 million cap hit in year two, not $25 million salary.
Right.
So,
okay.
You know, my guess is that he is expecting to get back to that average of $16 million,
yeah,
that he wanted,
and
so
I'll give him 17.
No, but because you said, you know, maybe you got to go up to 17 or 18.
Yeah.
I think that's where you're going to have to start.
Yeah.
Paul's point, I think, is
he's going to get that money back.
4 years, $16 million is $64 million. Well, plus you owe him the other.
Right, you owe him four for the million.
So now we're at 68 over
four.
That's kind of what I.
You know, as usual, he sums up me better than I do.
Yeah.
That's exactly
right.
What I meant.
See, you kind of owe me $4 million from the first year, so we're going to have to work that in somewhere.
And I wouldn't try any of that, but you won a Super Bowl. That's going to be worth $4 million.
Not if
I wouldn't try that with Darrell.
Now, listen, if they treat him like all the, you know, like a lot of the other guys, and if they want him back, but at their price, then that's fine. If they really and truly look at him the way Fred said, this is the guy that's a difference maker and we need to have him back, I wouldn't try that stuff.
No. And I do think it was interesting the way you brought it up that the Patriots are open and on the record. That's a placeholder. So, because there is some leverage in saying, no, we'll just keep you. You have a contract. We'll make you play that out. Now, I think Revis would also be fine playing that out because it's value.
Because I got my money back.
I do think it's interesting that they're not saying, well, worst comes to worst, he'll just play out the deal he signed. They're not really saying. They're saying that's a placeholder. That wasn't intended to be played out.
Right. Now, I'll put my fanboy hat on, and I'm upset with NFL.com.
Wait, what other hats do you have?
Yeah.
I think what you really need to do is tell us when your fanboy
hat is. You told me that I'm not as much a fanboy this year. I was really lax on that.
Oh, your Orvis cap?
Yeah, you have that Orvis cap.
Take off the Orvis.
But I'm really mad at
that's only for Super Bowl.
I'm really mad at NFL.com. You know, today there's a report. Could could Darrelle Revis end up back on the Jets? Screw you, you know?
Yeah, fanboys articulate,
too. The NFL office is full of these, you know, Jets fans, you know.
Does have the fanboy hat on.
It's just ridiculous. And, you know, could Rex lure him away? It's like, he's under contract.
He's going
okay?
to Buffalo, too?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's going back to Rex and back to the Jets.
But we just talked about he's kind of not under contract.
I know.
Jonathan has said that was a placeholder.
But if I'm Darrelle Revis, I can pick where I want to go. You know?
And he wanted to go to the Jets, if you believe reports.
Yeah, you want to go to a team without a quarterback and be miserable? And
he did last spring, if you believe reports.
Yeah, but last spring was last spring.
He was coming off an ACL. This year,
no, he wasn't.
This
was coming off of an ACL. Right,
yeah.
He was a year removed.
This year, he can go anywhere he
batting
wants,
practice.
and a contender will pay top dollar for him.
Okay,
you know,
and they would have last year.
He doesn't need
28
to,
teams were interested last year.
He doesn't need to go
according
to
reports.
He doesn't need to go
according
to
him.
He doesn't need to go to Buffalo. He doesn't need to go to the miserable Jets.
It's not a need; it's a want.
You know, well,
he could have gone anywhere last year too.
Let me tell you, he can pick his team. Why would he want to go to those two?
Because he likes Rex or he likes New York? I don't know.
Or they offer him the most money. I don't know.
Yeah. No.
If you like it there, you like
it
there.
I think it's less likely now than it was a year ago.
The heart wants what it wants. Yeah.
A year ago, if you told me he was going to go back to the Jets, I would have been more likely to believe it. I'm less likely to believe it, although...
Imagine if he went to the Bills so that on opening night, we could play the Bills on Thursday night, Rex and Revis can get his ring.
See, I think, like Eric, I think there's less of a chance for the Jets now because Rex is gone.
Right.
I think Buffalo's more in play than
it's
the Jets
like,
because of Rex.
I just
That's
read
why
a headline.
You wanted to go back there.
Oh, Cromartie? Is he in Arizona?
Yes.
Yeah.
Antonio.
And Peterson said he never shuts up about New York. Oh, I love New York or something. Like, if it's Rex, the city, the club.
Has Revis expressed his love for Rex the way Rex has expressed his love for Revis?
No.
Well, he wanted to go back to play for him.
Yeah, I think that was the report.
Back 2 years ago?
Last year. And then
2 years ago,
Woody Johnson said no.
Now he says
yes.
Do
you not remember that story?
No.
Multiple times it came out.
It was a report.
Before we signed him,
he wanted to go back to the Jets.
He wanted to go play for the Jets.
Gary Myers wrote the story. He was here in camp, talked to him, and he didn't shoot it down. He kind of said, you know, that was then or now I've moved on.
That elicited his whole semantic thing with Revis. You know, I'm here for now.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah. But I wonder,
though. I backed
though,
off that a little.
Well, he said. And
a
that
title
was,
later. It's okay.
That was before.
Okay. He was crying on the field in Glendale.
I think that's a big part of it, though. Like, if he had come here this year and they hadn't won the Super Bowl, I think maybe he would have been more open to leaving. But maybe now, after what he's been through, maybe he likes playing for Belichick as much as he liked playing for Rex.
Maybe. Or maybe he's got his ring
right.
and now he wants to get
you
paid
can make both
no matter
cases.
What.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's already gotten paid like $100 million in his career.
I do think he liked playing here.
Never
I think
enough.
I think he enjoyed it. That's why I think he's going to be back, because I think he enjoyed it more so than the winning or losing, because I think the winning actually works against you.
Yeah.
The winning actually makes it more likely that he's going to chase the dollar, but I think he really liked playing here with these guys. Now, McCourty could factor into that, too.
Right.
He might really like playing with McCourty, and if he's sort of in limbo,
right?
Who knows?
But it's also, I mean, the head coach is important, the environment.
He liked
just like
for
it
Bill.
Is for
no,
Rex,
no
just
doubt.
Like it is for Bill. And as long as Bill's here, I think he would want to be here. And
I agree.
Now, but I also think there's ego involved. You know, the Parcellian, well, I'll just go lead somebody else to a title. You know what I mean? That whole, I can make them that much better.
The thing that and I know this is a minor thing that happened in the middle of the season, but for a player of Revis's stature, when he was sent home that day for showing up late, the report was that he came back to the facility later and apologized
right.
for doing that. That's something to me that took me a little bit by surprise, because, you know, we've dealt with that kind of thing here before, where a big name player gets sent home. And I don't remember hearing reports on those other cases that the player would come back and actually apologize. That to
we
me,
don't know. I mean,
no, but if it's, I'm saying if it's true, I'm just going by what we've heard.
Yeah.
If that kind of thing is true, that leads me to believe that Revis has a little bit more respect for.
I think he's a real pro. I mean,
Thomas was coming back, but he got caught in traffic.
Right, right.
But like
the Jetsons.
Well, that's a good point, though. The way
Adalys Thomas
handled
Thomas
it
come back to,
was yeah. not the same way that Revis handled it.
Yeah.
This past year.
Yeah.
And I think that's I think that's an example of, or it gives you at least some insight as to how the player feels about being here.
I think he likes it, and that's one of the reasons why I think he's going to be back. And I also think that the Patriots have shown the ability to go ahead and make the guy the highest paid at a position when they've deemed him worth it. And I can't imagine they don't deem Revis worth it.
Yeah, I can't either. The Hernandez trial's going on. What are the chances?
We're bringing this up because?
What are the chances that the Patriots could get some cap relief or refund from that? Do you think it'll be over or decided by the time the season starts?
No.
That is not by the time in the season starts?
Yeah.
No, that's not going to be a factor in your cap. So don't count on that for getting any money.
I think the trial will be over long before the season.
Well, first, he's got two trials, remember. He's got another trial after this one.
It's true. It's so laughable when you say stuff like that.
Yeah.
The first murder trial will be over, but then you got the next one.
Right, and this was the one that's ongoing
laughable
right now.
Laughable if so serious.
Right. But in terms of the two different titles, the difference is this is the Odin Lloyd one.
Correct.
So no matter what happens to this one, this doesn't affect the cap.
Correct.
It's the first one that potentially might possibly give them some relief.
It's a long
because
shot.
That was the one that if they could prove somehow that there was knowledge before they gave him the contract, you know, that this murder happened before, that voids the contract or whatever. It was a violation of goods or whatever. You know, I'm with Andy. I'm not expecting anything.
It's a long shot and it's a no shot for this year.
Okay.
So don't think, oh, I'm going to get $3 million because of that or something. No.
So then next step is there's a list of guys that are under contract that you would think, okay, they got to do something with that. Gerard Mayo, Vince Wilfork are the two on the top there.
Well, Revis is on the top.
Yeah, Revis
would
be on the top.
I think they're just going to let Amendola go with that, don't you?
Not necessarily.
Well, I think any of those three could happen.
Yeah.
The easiest to let go financially and make money is Wilfork.
Yeah.
You would save a ton of money right off the bat. The other two, it's complicated.
What would you do with Wilfork?
Is he around?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
Bahamas.
He's
in Bahamas.
Well, you know so much of this is respect for him. It's hey, look at all I've done for you. We're family. You know, how can you do this to me? It's very, very personal. You know, we know that for sure. So if they do what I think we all agree they should do, he's going to be disrespected. He's going to feel disrespected.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if there's any way around that.
Well, keep him and pay him.
But at the expense
of... But is that
of...
for the, in the best interest of the team?
You can try to push it off again. Do another restructure, right?
Yeah, you could do another restructure and just push it down the road.
I think he probably played better than they expected. I think they probably thought this might be an easier decision this year. You know, even he had to answer questions about going out on top. He starts and ends his career with a Super Bowl, and but also remember, the run defense wasn't good early in the year. I think he was a part of that, and it got better as the year went on, but it was not the key to you winning and losing necessarily. So it's tough. Do I want to pay him $8.7 million to play next year? No. Do I want to cut him? No.
I mean,
that leaves you open.
They also allowed a 100-yard rusher in two out of three playoff games.
Right. You know, they allowed a 100-yard rusher against teams that are going to have a 100-yard rusher. Like the team that doesn't.
Well, Baltimore is not necessarily one you'd expect.
Justin Forsett had 1,400 yards this year.
But you wouldn't expect him to run the ball away. You expected him to do that in the playoff
game. He had 1,400 yards and 5.4 yards a carry.
Everybody thought the Patriots were going to blow out the Ravens when everybody thought that Forsett was going to run for
140
yards.
So you thought it was just smoke and mirrors all year? He had a great year.
I thought
that was a key part of their offense.
I didn't expect him to run like that, no.
I think the two teams that had a running game ran. And the one that didn't,
the recent history of the Patriots, even in the – the 3 years, before this one, when they came up against a good runner, they did usually shut him down. They usually didn't allow him to, run the.
Well, when are we talking?
Like in the last 3-4 years.
I would disagree with that. Last year, their run defense was god awful.
But they've always.
I mean, in the championship years, absolutely. No matter how good the back was, they were going to shut him down.
I even think during these years when they came up against that big back, they usually did a pretty good job.
Well, last year it was
them.
Terrible.
Last year they couldn't have been worse.
Now that's kind of an argument for keeping
for
Vince.
Yes,
because he went down. Now Mayo went down too, but he went down, and the run defense wasn't good enough.
It wasn't good, but then it got better.
You also don't really have anybody. Better. It wasn't as putrid.
No,
it was less putrid.
Last year, they had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, Silver Salinga became a star. Remember they had to trade for...
Right.
I don't even remember the guy's name.
Isaac Sopawaga.
Yeah, Sopawaga.
Right.
And that sucked. He was inactive 2 weeks later.
But, you know...
But you don't have anybody in the pipeline
either. The thing about Wilfork is I think he surprised the team with his durability this year.
Mm-hmm. I think they expected to cut him.
Yep. I agree with
They expected to cut him this spring. And
they expected it to be a lot cheaper than he was.
You only played 10 games. You weren't that good. Mm-hmm. But he played the whole year, and he was pretty good.
Yeah, and he's still the best interior lineman they have, right?
Now
Easley is a X factor. You have no idea what you're going to get out of him.
But he's not that role.
And he's not a run stopper.
The faith would be like Salinga or somebody. Okay, you know, and I can't believe he'd be okay with him. Guy's always hurt.
Yeah, and Alan Branch doesn't seem like he's an every down player the way Wilfork is at all.
And he's old. I mean, he's 9 years, 10 years into the league.
So I think that interior line has to be looked at.
Yes.
I really do.
Now, Nada might get cut. You want him?
Yeah,
I would take and Nada both get cut.
Yeah. I would take Nada on.
I would too, but
on a 1 year, you know,
you're probably
like
not
going
to be able
deal.
To. I would think other people would take
him.
I'm trying
to think. Has he said anything that's pissed me off?
No,
I take him.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure I ever heard him speak.
Right, right.
I can't think of Nada saying Nada.
Nada.
Right. I take him, sure.
But at what cost?
I know.
You have all these things. Yes, you'd love to have this guy and love to keep this guy. You're playing a shell game, though. There's only so many shells you can move around.
I mean, if
you
had
all
these guys.
Nada and Revis.
Everybody,
he's pretty old, too, though. I would take him on a 1 year kind of deal.
Yeah, everybody that.
Yeah, but he's a young old.
And didn't he have the exact same injury that Wilfork had? Didn't they both have Achilles? Nada and Wilfork.
That was Suggs.
Oh, that's Suggs. You're right. You're Suggs.
Yeah. Nada didn't have an injury this year. He had a, issue.
He had a suspension.
Okay.
For eating too much skinless chicken.
Yeah.
Deer antlers.
You know, so we see a lot of emails.
His wife was lactating.
You know, cut
whatever the excuses are.
You know, they should release this guy. But every guy you release, you have to replace. You know, so, and you're going to have to pay to replace that guy if you were looking for the same quality, at least.
Right. And that's what I talk, you know, Ask PFW, this came up a lot. And one of the things I started researching in the Amendola one, which 2 months ago seemed like, okay, just cut him, he's fine. But with his dead money, which is like 3.7, I think. His regular contract is like 5.7 cap number. He was better. He was a contributor in the postseason. And to save $2 million, well, now I have to replace as a returner and receiver.
Right.
Say I spend $600,000, $700,000 on that. Well, now I'm saving a little over $1 million. Is it worth it? All of a sudden I get a guy that doesn't get along with Brady, doesn't fit. Although I also, the replay, that drop he had, when he was coming across left
to
right.
You, every game. Whew. Every game he had one of those.
I don't think he's going to go anywhere, though. My gut tells me.
I think he's going to redo his deal.
I think he's going to stay one way or the other.
Yeah,
I think he's going to redo his deal too.
Yeah.
Although,
but you also got him healthy this year. What if he gets hurt again?
Unlike all the stuff that Eric said about Revis that I totally agree with, I don't think he likes it all that much here. So
he likes one thing.
I think redoing it.
He's a hard guy.
Redoing it is going to be a little bit different.
He's a hard guy to get a beat on.
He likes his Monday Night Football blocker.
All right.
What?
Just tone it down.
It's okay.
We'll tell you during the break.
It's out there.
She was on bleeping parade float.
Okay. All right.
It's okay.
He's dating a
quick
person
slants.
In the media.
Quick slants.
Reportedly, right?
It's not reported.
No.
It's out there. Everybody, they were on the field together.
I believe she was on the parade float with him, wasn't she?
I don't know.
Was she embedded by him?
Yes, many, many times.
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. So let's get right into it. Simon is in Paris.
Gagne?
Hey, Simon.
Farrell,
hey,
Simon.
Bonjour à tous.
I don't know what that means.
It means hello.
Oh,
hi.
Bonjour.
I was born in Boston, but I've moved in France a very long time ago, but I'm still a very big Patriots fan, and your show is so important to me because, it makes me feel closer to home. So I wanted to thank all of you, all the four of you, and having you with me is so important. I'm very impressed to be talking to you. And I re-listen to all of your shows because in France, American football is so not popular. I worked for a TV station, and the news anchors congratulated the Seattle Patriots.
No, did they really?
Yeah.
Well, there was that other story about the new the Revolution winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, yes,
the New England.
Yeah. Wow, that was in the Daily Mail.
Yeah, somebody over there across the pond.
Yeah,
but yeah, so that was crazy. And re-listening to your shows, I wanted to share my experience. All of the listeners talk about how they watched the games with their dad, and my dad is also a big Patriots fan. And we watched this game together. Only it was 4 a.m. when it ended here in France. And it was such I was following also on Twitter, and I saw that I'm sorry, I don't speak very good English anymore, but I saw that the curse catch before
right.
before it happened. So I put my phone away and I just took my hands in my head and I almost started crying. But my father was like, you'll see it will happen. Everything, this is the year. And when it happened, I mean, it was, we yelled so loud, the neighbors rang at, yeah.
So your dad knew, dad had faith. He knew.
Yeah, he had faith.
Yeah. Like you.
So, yeah, I'm sorry about that. I didn't have any.
Well, listen,
so much
to apologize
yeah,
for you. Just like
after what's happened to the Patriots in the Super Bowl, I don't blame you. You know, we've been traumatized. You know, we've been traumatized.
Yeah, this was like the Tyree catch all over again.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is where during the year you debated that. Andy was saying that it's better when it's a close game, and I was
right
with Fred, who said that it was better when it's a blowout. But now I understand what he meant, and I think the victory is so much sweeter because we had to suffer through it, and so this is maybe I've watched all the other Super Bowls the Patriots were in, but this one feels the best, and.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to share this with you, and thank you guys very much for everything you do here.
Okay. Well, thank you, Simone, for calling in from all the way from Paris, France.
Tell your dad thanks for his faith.
I was talking
at least
with,
one of you had faith.
I was talking with the executive director of the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon.
Presented by Raytheon.
And, he was saying, do you think this was the best one? I say, I still think 01 was the best.
Yeah, me too.
This is a close second, though.
Very close second.
But for completely different
reasons. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys agree?
I like this one.
First one's going to...
You think this is the best?
I do.
Really?
I do.
Better than 01?
Yeah. Better team they played. I think they were a better team. Everything
well,
about
the first
it.
One is
I mean,
special.
All the first one, you know, you would have to take out the, you know, what was going on. And that's like what Mr. Kraft said in the post game. You know, that made that truly special because of what was going on. But I'm just looking at it from a purely football perspective.
Well, from a purely football, you're right.
Yeah.
But I think
emotionally,
I think what was going around outside made this one even better, and I think what was going around outside made that one even better.
Not just the fact that it was 9/11 and they were the Patriots and all that, but don't forget they had played and lost two previous Super Bowls. It was in New Orleans, so they had the whole thing about
14-point underdogs.
Right, it was a huge underdog.
No,
it was
an upset, no question about that.
So it was, I mean, and it was the first time they'd ever won.
Yeah.
And nobody really gave them a chance.
Right. I like this one.
So that one's always special to me.
But this one
was. But this was a very close.
For a different reason.
This is more of, yeah.
Yeah, I can't argue with
it. You know?
I like this one.
I like this one a lot, too.
Yeah, from a pure football, this was a better game.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Better opponent.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And I think the Patriots were better.
And even a more exciting finish.
Oh, yeah. Way better.
Yeah. I mean, the last-second field goal is still exciting, but this was – if Adam doesn't make that field goal, they go into overtime.
Right.
True. So it's not a huge deal if he doesn't make it. They still have a chance.
But wasn't kind of the momentum on the Rams' side at that point, I think? They're the ones who came back to tie it.
They did.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm saying the game wouldn't have been over –
yeah.
At that point, if he misses. The game was going to be over if they don't stop Seahawks.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's a lot more exciting ending.
Yeah, so the last substantial play of each game, this one was better.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything beats a kick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a kick.
Yeah.
But I just, for me, it's the story of the 0-1 team. It's start to finish.
Yep.
That was better. And just the whole Brady Bledsoe and the adversity and the stupid things and blah, blah, blah.
But there was adversity this year, too, with Brady in the beginning and everyone thinking that
it was. Yeah, but that wasn't real adversity. I mean, you didn't have anybody die.
I think he thought it was.
Well, he did because he's led a pampered life and he doesn't know what adversity is.
Whatever the reason, I think he felt put upon.
Here's the part of the show where Andy says how much he has Tom Brady's back.
No, I love him as a player and other things, but he hasn't exactly had a struggle to get through life. He's had a pretty good 37 years on
this
planet.
The whole Tom Brady overcame so much in his life is one of the more tired and inaccurate storylines of Tom Brady.
So this year, people said, oh, he might be done. Really? Is that the worst thing you've ever gone through? Because if so, you've led a damn good life.
Sure.
Tom Brady, great quarterback. Not necessarily because of all the stuff he had to overcome.
No.
To, you know, having to, you know, put up with the, you know, the insult that it was to go to the University of Michigan, one of the most prestigious football colleges in the country. You know, that part of it's a little tired.
Let's go to GT in North Carolina. Hey, GT.
Hey, Fred.
Yeah.
Andy.
Sup?
Paul, Eric.
How you doing?
We're all here.
Hey.
GT.
You guys. Hey, last several years I've been listening to you guys while I try to catch a little lunch. And appreciate you guys keeping us updated on the behind-the-scenes Pats Nation.
Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah. So you guys always do a great job and very entertaining as well. So I just wanted to call and, hey, I usually share a little lunch during this time when I listen to you guys.
So do we.
Calling and want to buy a
jackpot
victory Super Bowl lunch for you guys.
All right, GT.
Love you.
So,
Kevin.
How you like that victory?
I could
I could
tell when this call started, GT. It was going to a good place.
So don't hang up on him, Fred.
Don't hang up on him, Fred. Put him on hold. When he's done. GT, what does GT stand for?
Good time.
Nice.
Good time.
And it is for us. You're buying lunch, baby.
Good time. Ringing true.
Yes, I'm going to get you guys hooked up with a good lunch.
All right.
Do you have a question?
Yeah. I got a couple questions. I want to talk a little X's and O's with Paul.
Oh.
But,
Andy's your guy.
At the end of the game, after the immaculate interception by Butler, NBC, you know, just spent most of their time doing close-ups of coaches and players and kind of lost track of what happened on the field there. I think there was an unsportsmanlike conduct.
That's correct.
And so what happened? Was this taunting the Seahawks? Are we taking off helmets? What happened?
We're not sure.
The Patriots got called for excessive celebration. There was about 30 people on the field.
Yeah, people from the sideline came out.
Right, and helmets were off. The celebration was, it went on for a while. It cost them a yard. Because Butler was down at the two, and that pushed it back half the distance to the one.
Yeah, so it was basically the bench coming on the field.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of Patriots.
Yeah, it wasn't like the fight came after that.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's one I wanted to ask you about. I've listened to some interviews from Bill and Brady and lots of guys, and after the interception, and you got 20 seconds left. Was the strategy there to take a safety?
No.
Safety if the Seahawks didn't jump?
No, I think what they would have done would just run a quarterback sneak, which is, I think, virtually impossible to force for a loss of yardage.
Yes.
And if you had run that twice, the game's over.
Although,
they call timeout after the first one and then the second
it
one.
It sure didn't
over.
Look like they were lining up for a QB sneak. They were in a victory formation.
Right.
Yeah, but I think that Brady just would have taken the ball and squeezed forward.
I would have hoped so, but it didn't look that way.
The victory formation, I think, was just to ensure that if a fumble, you have two guys
ready,
and then you have the deep guy ready to make sure, worst case scenario, he kicks it out of the end zone and takes a safety instead of a touchdown.
Yeah, correct. I don't think they would have given up a safety there and given themselves any chance.
I would hope not.
To lose the game.
Yeah, you have to literally blow it up to get a safety on a QB sneak.
Can the center bring the ball between his legs, touch the quarterback's hand, and bring it back and just fall forward with it?
No, that's the old
fumble rooski.
That's illegal now, right?
Yeah, you can't.
You can't do that.
Yeah, center keep.
Yeah, center.
But why would you want to do that?
Well, just it doesn't exchange hands.
Which is more of a chance to fumble.
Yeah,
I don't want to be doing crazy stuff that I don't do normally.
Yeah.
And like I said, I mean, you'd have to have a bulldozer all over the nose to push it. they're going to give you the line of scrimmage. They're going to give you forward momentum.
As long as he gets the ball and makes an attempt to move forward, the worst they're going to do is say no game.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it would take a freak play. The only way there is if there's a fumble.
I think the key there in that situation is for Brady to go down as soon as possible.
You're not looking for something stupid. Don't get held up.
No, he would have gotten the ball.
You're creasing the guard in the
down.
Center and falling forward.
Right.
That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
The only thing I would think of is Brian Stork's sweating problem. If he gets nervous, overly sweaty, something's loose.
Well, who was it? I think it was
all the right moves.
Edelman swatted Amendola on the butt on one of those wired up. He goes, "Oh, sweaty butt."
Edelman had a very undrafted rookie free agent out of LSU.
I think Edelman's
everybody loved him, and
Edelman's going to rue the day that he was mic'd up for that game.
Certainly didn't hurt him that night with the girl on Tinder. Or then two nights later, or whatever that was.
I'm sure he has no problem in that area.
No, I'm sure he doesn't. He was at the Grammys.
What else you got, GT?
Wonder who he bagged at the Grammys.
All right.
Thanks, GT.
Thanks, GT.
Hopefully you're still there because...
Oh, you let him go.
Oh, he can email him.
Wait. We don't look down and give tone to people who buy us lunch. Can you be a little nicer to GT?
Dan's all calling from Japan. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
What's hop on it?
Konnichiwa.
Konbanwa, it's 2:30 in the morning.
Oh.
Gotta say good evening, or good middle of the night. Are you guys tired of talking about the Super Bowl yet?
Hell no. What do you got?
Thank God. I've marked this day on my calendar. It's a national holiday tomorrow. I could finally stay up to an unreal hour and call into the show.
Nice.
So you're
actually in Japan. You're not one of those fraudulent ones that used to be in Japan and came back, right?
No. I'm stuck here.
I know.
Forever.
Oh, well, stuck? I mean, what are you doing?
I have a job here, so that's what keeps me here.
What do you do?
Same with me in Foxborough.
I'd rather be where you are.
What's that now?
I said, I'd rather be where you are.
Oh, okay. Well, what are you doing?
Paul would rather be where you are.
What do you do for work? Not Japan, friend.
Translator?
You could bring all your family. You'd go.
No, I teach. I teach English.
Oh. Interesting.
I definitely couldn't trade places. I don't know English.
So what do you want to talk about Super Bowl?
Well, I just wanted to, you know, share my experiences. This was actually the first time I could watch the Patriots win a Super Bowl where I didn't know the result ahead of time.
Win a Super Bowl. Why is that?
So you've always seen him you've always seen him in tape?
Right.
Wow, that must really
stink. The first three, I was in Japan, and somehow, despite my best efforts, I would get an instant message or somebody would say, "Hey, we taped that Patriots victory for you." So
right. What an idiot that is that sends you that.
Well, that was my father-in-law.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Dad.
That's all right.
No disrespect.
Smart people do dumb things. It's okay.
It's fine. And then the 07, I was actually in San Francisco and I watched that live. That was fun. And 11, I was back in Japan, and I didn't know the result, but, you know, we all know what happened there.
Yep.
So this was the first time I actually got to watch a game not knowing what happened, and I had to watch it with a Seattle fan.
Oh, nice.
Who was also my boss.
Oh. Well, you stuck it to your boss then.
In a diplomatic and, you know, don't fire me kind of way, yeah.
All's fair in Super Bowl parties.
Yeah, he was very gracious about it. You know, I know we like to harp on Seattle fans a lot and their lack of class. He was very classy, but he didn't appreciate me switching my laptop desktop to the Butler interception. But that's not a fireable offense, so you know, it's fine.
Right.
As far as you know.
Hey, if you get fired, you won't be stuck in Japan anymore.
And I can call in all the time.
Exactly. Okay. Like a lot of our listeners. They have no jobs.
All right, Dan.
Exactly. Not our listeners, my friend.
We got to move on, but thank you for calling all the way from Japan.
Did you see they
very international flavor?
They're
this
selling
first
T-shirts
hour.
Of the Butler interception. Nike has a shirt of him cutting in front. It's
really?
His outline on the shirt. Yeah.
Oh, and just so people know, Butler will be receiving his MVP truck today. KSP will be there to cover it. So that's
hope it has four wheel drive.
Yeah,
it's going to need use that. Got to put a little weight in the back, though. Those trucks are all over.
Speaking of that, Tim in Baltimore has a quick question. Would you trade Malcolm Butler's interception in Super Bowl 49 if it meant Asante Samuel making a game-saving interception in 42? Basically, would you trade this Super Bowl for the perfect season in 07?
Yes.
I would.
Yes.
Yeah.
I absolutely yes. would.
As much as I love this game,
yeah,
that's
19-0. That's immortality.
19-0.
And you're not losing anything.
Right.
You now have your fourth Super Bowl.
It's one for
one. The fourth is the, and now you lost a couple, but no one remembers that because you were the greatest ever. You already have your four rings, blah, blah, blah. Brady did his job. They, yeah. You know, he's still great. You absolutely would lose nothing.
Balarco's in L.A. Hey, Balarco.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Balo.
I don't know if you guys missed. There was a funny segment on ESPN when Ninko, Vereen, and Blunt went there. There was a segment where they were asked to name their best friends. Have you seen that?
No.
It was funny because Ninko wrote Gerard Mayo, Blunt wrote Arby's, and Shane Vereen wrote Ernie Adams.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah. Also, but can anyone tell me how much over the cap we are? Because assuming that the next cap limit is going to be $146 million, I still think we are like $5 million over. Like, how are we going to adjust that? I understand that there are reasons to restructure him. It like re-sign him and extend him, it will save some money, but we're still like, from what I read, like the third or fourth worst in the cap situation. Like,
I saw.
You know,
yes.
What's going on?
That is, everything you said is exactly right. People are using 146 as sort of a projected number. Although some think it could go higher than that, some think it's going to be down by 143.
Well, it's interesting. The NFLPA announced a couple months ago that from now on they're going to have their own projection. You know, because they feel that the NFL is always shorting it, and it always comes out more than the NFL says. So from now on, they're going to come out with their own projection every year.
And just to clarify, it does include the overage for the Patriots. Does include $25 million on the cap for Revis?
Yeah.
I assume.
Oh yeah.
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 Okay. I thought
so
I saw. Really no.
There's a lot of teams at this time of year that all of a sudden go over because of projected stuff that they're going to work out.
Right.
You know,
the one I saw though didn't say $5 million. It was only like $1 million over.
No, it's in the range of $5 million-ish. It's low 150s as compared to 146, if you use that as your placeholder.
But that's a big number. Like, even some of the contracts that we're talking about for Revis would save you significant from 25 on the cap for year one, I would think. If
right.
you're able to do some sort of long-term deal like we all want.
Right.
Now,
oh, but there's a bunch
you know,
of those.
There's a lot of variables.
Nate
no,
Solder's
just,
at 7.5.
Yeah, there's
you could
million.
Drop Nate Solder down to, like, a couple $1 million on a long-term deal and backload it.
I have a question about Nate, as long as you've been doing the research on this stuff. The Solder thing, as far as we understood it, it's when does that become guaranteed?
I believe
only
March 10th or something.
Oh, March 10th. It is March 10th.
I thought that was the case.
Okay.
But I might be wrong.
I thought it wasn't guaranteed if he didn't make
it
to
the fifth year option for the first round pick.
Maybe it's not. I don't know. Better answer is I don't know. I rescind my previous answer.
No, because I heard somebody on the radio say it was March 10th, and I didn't think that was accurate. But if you say the same thing.
No, but I rescinded my saying the same thing.
Okay.
I don't stand by that.
Johnny in L.A. writes in, based on comments made during Thursday's show, it seems as if you guys weren't overly impressed with the game Vereen had. Talking Super Bowl, obviously. Assuming you've
well,
all
that was no, more Paul.
No. That was just me.
That was mostly Paul. He
assuming
hates
you've all rewatched
I do
the
not
game,
hate
I'm just wondering if your opinions might have changed. Personally, I thought he was huge.
He was.
He accounted for 6 first downs, had a 7th call back due to a penalty, and touched the ball 5 times on the game-winning drive. Against that defense, what more can you ask for?
He had probably the best game he's ever played.
But I think he was a victim or a beneficiary of the game plan and what the Patriots were doing. I don't think what he did in that game required, like, superhuman skill.
No,
I think that there's a lot of guys – look, and I hate to say – Vereen, we all love him, but I think there's a lot of guys in the league that could have done what he did.
Maybe, but the thing
sure.
is – he
that's
hasn't,
exactly how I – you just summed up
the,
my feelings.
The thing about that was that he hasn't – he's had the opportunity to have a game like that, and he hasn't because he's either dropped a key pass
he certainly
or
came through,
not made a play, and he came through every time he had the chance.
But he wasn't running
game.
Those
I
wheel
think,
routes. I
exactly.
Mean,
he wasn't asked
were,
to do anything
were,
that he wasn't able to do.
These were soft zones that the Patriots are opening up by scheme that he was wide open in.
And he wasn't getting a lot of yards out of.
Yeah, and he
I mean,
wasn't.
I mean, he averaged 5 yards a catch.
Right. You know, so I think he did what he did his job. There's no
he
doubt about it.
He absolutely did
and
his job.
And they would not have won if he didn't do his job. So I don't
But
want,
I'm not but I'm not willing to say they would not have won if someone else was asked to do that same job.
Right.
I don't think that someone else would have done the same thing that Edelman did.
Yeah. So if I don't
And think, I don't and you know I don't think a whole lot of Edelman, but I think he had a special game that day.
Right. Right. You know, Vereen did what he had to do, but he didn't do a lot extra. He didn't, you know, a lot of people said, oh, now he's now going to get big money for what he did. I think most evaluators out there, you know, the people within organizations realize that, you know, a player should be able to do what he did. Someone who is an NFL caliber player should be able to catch a ball in a soft zone. Now, it's getting those extra yards that would have made him special, I think.
He certainly wasn't special. I'm kind of between the two arguments here.
I don't think he was a stiff.
And
by
I
the
agree
way.
With Eric. I think there's times he hasn't taken advantage of opportunities that were given to him. I thought he did his job that day. Yeah. I thought he had a couple. The one-handed catch
that was
a great
that
catch.
That was a great catch.
He had another play, which was actually.
Was that intended for him, by the way?
I don't know.
Right,
I'm not sure
him.
It was.
Yeah. I don't.
I'm not sure it was.
Me too.
Oh, so now we're saying he screwed up by getting in the
no,
way?
No.
That
was
okay.
I mean, it was a very good really catch. It was an excellent catch. But
he had another play.
Most of me caught little dump offs out of the backfield and got 5 yards on.
He had another play where he got a first down where he did the same thing. I think Edelman, Amendola, and Vereen all did the same thing where they caught a ball over the middle and there was a guy like 2 feet behind him who stayed 2 feet behind him as they went down and picked up a first down with like 12 yards. Yeah. I thought he was good. Not great, but good and
I
better.
Agree.
Better
I
than. My criticisms have been of him over the last year.
That's fair.
Everybody's been patting him on the back for the numbers this year that, oh, he's the only back with, I don't know, what, 50 catches and 75 carries.
But based on that, though, do you go into this all saying, we need Vereen. We have to resign. See, I don't.
No, don't have to.
Yeah.
But have to have that role.
Yeah.
Oh, and you have nobody who plays
agreed,
that role.
Agreed.
So I think his value is boosted not by his performance in the Super Bowl is boosted by the fact that James White did nothing and you have nobody else.
Would you be willing to give $2 or $3 million or more per year for CJ Spiller than you would have to give Vereen?
$2 or $3 million more per year.
More than
so like
Vereen?
$5 million a year instead of
whatever you're going to give
Vereen.
A year?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I would.
Probably, because I think Spiller could be special in this offense.
Sure.
Yeah, Spiller's a lot better than Vereen.
He's got returnability.
Yeah. I think he could be special in this offense. I think he could. I mean, remember how hot he was 2 years ago to open the
when
year?
When they gave him the
just think
the
of what it would
role.
Be here with Gronkowski and Edelman and like. I just think the opportunities would be sick.
I just think there's no chance that they pay a running back.
No, I don't either. But I would definitely pay him more than Vereen. Yeah, but you're gonna have to pay him a lot more than Vereen.
I mean, that's two different kind of automobiles.
You know what we need to get back into is just saying
automobile?
Come here. Win a title. Money's not everything.
Well,
Come on, you should be hungry.
You know the Patriots are going to win the 50th. We're going to win number 50.
I hope so.
Well, they need to do some stuff this offseason.
Sure.
For me to feel
I'll let you know when you tell me what happens with Revis.
All right. We'll
when
take,
he leaves, the sky falls.
We'll take Chester from Portland, and he'll bring us into the break. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Man, the magic just continues on, and I just wanted to say real quick that coin by my on the immaculate interception, that's great. I mean, that thing was nothing short of immaculate. And just quickly on Vereen, I was rooting for him too, but I feel like his production was more game plan oriented than anything else. The yards after the catch just didn't impress me at all. Just closing on that note, I feel like that was just a game plan benefit on his end. But I got a quick story to tell you guys. You know, I made probably 100 different takes over the course of the year, and somehow I've been appointed as the ambassador of all things apparel Patriots-related. Man, I've been tagged on Facebook multiple times a day on people's apparel purchases. But on my own note, you know, a couple of days after the Super Bowl, I looked at my wife. I said, man, we need a big banner for the front of my house, for the front of the house to really rub it into the Northeast or Northwest nation up here with Seahawks. So I get home from work, and she says, hey, you know, honey, I found you a banner, and it's awesome. It's on Craigslist. Come take a look. You know, I took a look. Things like, you know, huge. So, long story short, she says, you know, you got to pick it up before work tomorrow, and it's right by your work. Okay, great. So, I go by, and I end up at this amazing mansion. It's right on the lake in this place called Lake Oswego outside of Portland. It's probably the most affluent of suburbs, that, you know, around the town. I get up to the door, and I knock on the door, and I introduce myself, and this woman answers, and she says, and, you know, so I say, you know, a huge fan, you know, transplant. She says, man, my husband's been really excited to meet you, and a short while later, this guy, Stan Evanson, comes out. Turns out this guy is the original designer of the Flying Elvis logo. And this was a banner that he had that was, you know, that he wanted to, you know, just get rid of. They just moved here from L.A. And so I had him sign the bottom corner of it. The actual designer of the Flying Elvis. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's such a small world.
That's pretty cool.
In light of all this apparel laughter and everything else, I felt like apparel karma came back to me full circle, baby. I got an autograph, and that baby's right in front of my porch, rubbing it in over here to Seahawk Nation. So thought I'd pass that story on. I have a feeling there's a few more coming. My boy Jeff in Vegas has got a fantastic one to share as well. But just goes to say, you know, we're stuck by this team all around, and we're all feeling the good karma and the fruits of this season. That's all I got. Buy your apparel, Nation.
All right. Chester, that's going to go down. Make noise, you know, be loud, and buy apparel. I love that. All right, let's take a break. Lots of calls and emails coming up after this.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
Story time with Fred Kirsch.
Well, we were talking about back in the day when the Patriots had more dual practices, and the Giants used to come quite a bit down at Bryant College where the Patriots used to have their training camp. So one day, the Giants were set to arrive, and at Bryant College, it would always be a Dell's truck set up. I love Dell's
frozen lemonade.
Yeah. It's like a Rhode Island, Southern Mass thing. You can't get it anywhere else. I don't know why. I would always get Dell's, you know, before practice, and one day, I decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to...
It's called slush anywhere else.
No. Dell's is different than slush. So I decide, okay, I'm going to buy all the PFW guys, all my guys Dell. So I go to the Dell's truck and I get a tray of, I think I had like 9 cups of Dell's. Just as I'm walking back, the Giants arrive. So all the Giants are walking up the path, led by their head coach, Jim Fossil. As I'm walking by, I say to Coach, welcome to the Patriots training camp. While you're here, you got to have a Dell's. And I'm holding this tray. She goes, oh, great. And he starts taking them and giving them out to his coaches. So I'm like Kraft when Putin took the ring.
Yeah.
What do you do? You know, oh, no, those aren't for you. So I let him take them, and I was out all that money. I had to go back and spend another $30.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
See what you get for trying to be an ambassador?
That's right.
Keep your head down and your mouth shut like I would have.
I could totally see where he... You know, the miscommunication was, so I just shut my mouth and let him take all my Dells. All right, back here in PFW in progress. We're talking Super Bowl, obviously, but also we're looking ahead to 2015, free agents. Not so much draft yet, but mostly free agents. We do have that list, so we know who's out there, and there's a lot of people out there. Now,
you're all hot and bothered with C.J. Spiller, huh? You're all over him. You're excited.
Well, I'm just looking, like you said, I'm intrigued at what he could do in this offense.
But I'm not sure you're looking to upgrade and add. Right now it's about retaining, isn't it?
Yeah.
Revis, McCourty, Gostkowski, keeping your core together. If you do that, you have a chance to win the Super Bowl again. You don't necessarily need to upgrade to win the Super Bowl.
It's
to
true.
Be better.
I think you always have to upgrade.
But I think
you always have to get better and look for ways to get better.
Yes, but if it comes, if you add Spiller and lose McCourty, are you better?
Probably not, but that's not the only option. I mean, you don't have to lose McCourty.
No, but my point is, if you're prioritizing, in-house comes
sure.
before out-house.
Sure, no, but that's why...
Not
this,
in your case.
This is probably the toughest job. Probably once the season starts, you know, and it's, you know, game planning, that's probably easy for these guys. It's these personnel moves in the off season that's the hardest because it's so unpredictable. You don't know how the guy's going to fit in.
I agree.
It's
with
that. So easy to criticize.
Right.
Yeah. It's hard to criticize that, you know, McDaniels went with two this or that in some game when there's another game the next week and that gets buried under the rug. But if you don't sign or re-sign, what? That lasts. That has legs for a year or two, and you're Belichick, well, the GM, screwed that
I mean,
up again.
Look at the Colts. You know, they gave a first-round pick for Trent Richardson, and now there's rumors that they're mad at him because he's too fat and, you know, he doesn't communicate with them. That's just a waste, you know? You know, so
how come you don't talk to me?
You know, see, those moves really can hurt a team.
Yeah.
But the other part of that, too, is –
I think it's underrated around here because for the better part of 15 years, whatever the Patriots have decided to do, it's been fine because they keep winning. And the reason they keep winning is because they have this coach and quarterback in place. So even when they've made bad personnel moves, they've sort of been masked. But that doesn't mean it's any easier to make the right moves. I'm sure Bill would rather have had some of the guys that he let go that performed well than not. But they kept winning.
Right.
You know, so it's easy to sit there and say, well, show me the guy that they rued the day what they lost. Well, no. Can I show you the guy that caused them to go from 12-4 to 6-10? No, I can't. But I can show you a guy who might have been the difference between 12-4 and winning a Super Bowl and 12-4 and not winning a Super Bowl. You know, there's examples mm-hmm. of those kinds of guys, like Asante Samuel and Richard Seymour and whatnot.
Not Logan Mankins, though.
No, I mean, evidently not.
Poor Logan.
But maybe, you know, maybe you wouldn't have gone through the trials and tribulations that you did in September had you not done that.
Maybe, but maybe you
wouldn't
have won the Super Bowl for
had you not gone through them. There's a lot of maybe.
Butterfly
effect. I think what pisses off fanboys like me when people say and
hat back on
and look, I'm going to come right up. What Paul said is exactly right. He's exactly 100% right. But what I think pisses off fanboys like me is that's an indictment on Belichick doesn't know personnel and he's a bad GM. Well, every team has those cases.
Well, that's
correct.
Why
every team.
But
does.
That's why I'm agreeing with your point yeah. that it's probably the hardest thing they have to do.
Right.
When do I pull the trigger on a guy? You know, the whole year too early, year too late thing. At what cost? You know, because, and I know you like to boil it down for me and Andy, and you make it a black and white thing when we say the cap is crap.
Right.
Obviously, you have to decide which 53 guys you want to make up your cap. You know, you can't just say we want every single guy out there and not worry about what their salaries are. You do have to worry about how they all
sure.
fit into the slots.
Sure. You have to make decisions.
I'm just saying, but that's the hard part, is making
right.
the decision,
right.
not getting them under the cap.
And projecting decisions.
Right.
Like, for example, you know,
but
Kevin
Colbert. But the cap is the umbrella under which you must make those decisions.
Well, so is your budget.
Right. That's your budget.
No, but you also have a budget
right.
and a
yeah.
cap.
Well,
budget.
It's a factor, right?
Yeah, but it isn't.
I don't think God. It would be. I don't think it would be any easier without the cap. They would have to determine which
right.
guys they want to fit. This is my point.
The only
if
thing
Bill
the cap does
the guys he wants
is prevents you from saying Kraft is cheap, Belichick's cheap, because you have a cap. But you'd have a budget, and then you'd be called cheap because you don't spend past your budget.
Right.
But instead, you can't spend past your budget.
The cap.
You know what I mean?
The cap was put in place to save owners from themselves. Right?
I guess. I don't know.
Right? I mean,
it saves you from
couldn't
criticism.
You, couldn't
unless
you make an
you're
argument Felder. That it's helped the Patriots more than
yes.
than anyone?
Yes.
Yeah. Because if everybody had an unlimited budget, the Patriots probably wouldn't
look,
be up there
Robert
with those
Kraft
guys.
Has come right out
spending
and said,
wise.
You know, because he's been on, you know, rumored to, you know, want to get into the EPL and buy Liverpool at one point. And he said, I'm not going to get into that because there is no cap.
Right.
You're competing against the world and you're competing against these Saudis that have like unlimited amount of money against players from all over the world. I can't do that. You know, he's a billionaire, but he's not that type of billionaire, you know? And yeah, I agree. I think the cap does help a guy like Robert Kraft compete. And I think that's, you know, one of the reasons why it's a good thing, because it keeps a level playing field.
I think it's a good
part.
Thing too.
For the
I
most
agree,
part.
I agree with you. I think it's yeah. a good thing too.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it would be a fun league to just pay everybody,
no.
you know, like, you know, what the Yankees did in baseball for all those years. That to me is not
yeah.
fun just because they had a bigger wallet than everybody
so
else.
So when a team like the Patriots dominate for a certain period, it really does come down to the talent of coaches and players. Patriots have the best coach. They have
right.
the best quarterback. That's why they win.
That's why I don't think it's a cap is really all that relevant. Because, like, you look at the AFC. Oh, yeah, you know, it's set up for parity, except it's the Patriots, the Colts,
but
and the Steelers.
It may not be relevant.
The Ravens.
But
the Ravens.
But
like,
teams,
it's the same
but
team.
Not
the, teams
having,
that draft,
the
teams that know what they're doing
the
know what they're doing.
Smart
but,
personnel
but
people
not having
have
a cap
quality
would
players.
Be relevant. It would, be, it would
oh,
blow this
yes,
all away.
Yes, I agree with
you.
Yes,
you know,
yes so, Fred.
Yeah.
Someone
yeah,
who's dumb might get lucky because they can pay more money
sure,
than everybody else.
Right.
By the way, the Seahawks, Schneider, I don't know if he's doing a conference call, but some tweets came out, and they're going all Tom Brady on the Russ and Wilson negotiation. Schneider said, Russell gets it. He wants to win
oh,
for a long time.
If I was Russell Wilson, I'd be
I'll
like,
tell you what I get. $25 million.
You
don't tell me what I get.
Although,
I said this off the air, he didn't have a very good Super Bowl. Some of the stuff I went back and watched, I didn't think he was – as good. He throws a really pretty ball, and I think that swayed me from, you know, the 400 level. But he, I told you guys, the third and two to open the second half when they drove right down the field, had to settle for a field goal. He had a read option where Ninkovich was shot out of a cannon. Yeah. If he pulls that out, he might walk in for a touchdown.
How much do you think, though, I agree, but how much do you think, you know, he didn't complete a pass until
end of the second quarter. Yeah. It was like 6 minutes ago.
But how much do you think
something.
That, you know, we talk about Brady, but he doesn't have a lot of weapons.
Oh, he's
really.
No. Yeah, no.
You know?
No. So, when your MVP is a guy who's never caught a ball before, I think that says something.
Yeah, right. No, he doesn't have Gronkowski.
Yeah, right. So his how much better would he be if he had
tremendous weapons? Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's also got a ridiculous weapon in the backfield and in defense.
Yeah.
So it all balances
out. It does.
He doesn't have a Gronk, but he's got a Lynch.
Yeah. But yeah. I'm not willing to say, oh, he's not that great a passer.
Oh, No. I just don't think he had a great game. Some of his decisions I thought were.
I think he's pretty good. I would have to see the specific plays that Andy's talking about. That one is one that we were at the complete opposite end.
He missed Lynch on a wide open.
On a wheel route.
Oh, yeah.
On
wheel
a third down too. That I think that was the same play that he hit for the big one in the last drive, the next drive.
And he has to me, if you're going to be a when people get mad, game manager and, you know, not throw for a while and get by with a running game and a defense. Well, then you need to maximize your opportunities more, right? Then if Brady's going to throw 55 times, well, if he misses a guy, there's going to be 54 coming. But if you're only throwing 20 times a game and you miss a big play or a wide open play, well, that's what we need you to do. We don't ask you to fling it all over the field, but when we open something up, you need to close it. That was another good quote from somebody on the Seattle side. He might throw it 60 times today when Brady early on. He might throw it 60-something times today.
Yep. Jason from Indiana. Hello, gentlemen. I'm still on cloud nine after the amazing season the team put together. I'm super jacked because I just got my championship hat and shirt in the mail. More apparel. We love it. Can't wait to wear it around Indiana and tick off all the pizza-punching redneck Colt fans. I have a couple questions. First off, I want to know.
Pizza to Quell Jackson.
Pizza punching.
He punched a pizza?
Yeah, punched a pizza guy over a parking spot.
Guy parked in a private spot, and it was DaQuell Jackson's spot, and I guess they got in an argument, and it sounds pretty fishy. Sounds like the pizza delivery guy is telling a story that might not all be that true. And but he got arrested. DaQuell
I punched
Jackson
a guy
arrested.
Over a parking spot once.
And I could. I could lose my temper. It's not right, but I could see myself falling victim to such a
especially
situation.
If it's one that you pay for.
Right.
What are the details, Fred?
I was... I think I was returning a video. This is back when you rented videos. And I was on a side street in Coolidge Corner off of Harvard Street. I'll never forget this. And going in to a spot, I was going to back in. This guy comes in behind me, boom, right in the spot. So I get out of my car. I'm like, you know, what are you doing? He gets out, and he had his wife with him. He gets out like, oh, Mr. Puffy, I just laid him out on top of his hood. he was sprawled.
Wait, just instantly?
No, like, well, no, he mouthed off to me. Like,
oh, okay.
He wasn't
you know
gonna
talking
even,
to?
He wasn't even going to say, like, oh, I didn't see you. You know, that's usually the thing. He's like, hey, first come, first serve. And I'm like, I was the first one here. He's like, sorry. Boom, I just hit him. It was a clean shot across the jaw. I left him sprawled over his hood. And I just drove off, and I'm thinking, oh, God, I hope he doesn't get my license plate. And I got back to the apartment, and I was shaking because I was afraid, like,
going to jail.
I was going to get a knock, but it never happened. I never got the knock.
Wow.
Guy was too embarrassed.
What was his name? I need names for your stories.
Yeah.
Richie Campanella.
Oh, I was so mad.
I would have been scared.
Yeah. So, but he didn't take my license plate. He knew he was wrong.
Whoa, wait a minute. You were wrong, too.
Well, yeah, to hit him, but, you know.
To just pop him drop him.
You know how it is in the city. You got that spot. You know, you're pulling in.
That's how it works in the city. You wouldn't know.
You know? You got like 15 acres.
I would know.
You know.
Oh, my God.
Fred.
You're driving around
I got you, Fred.
Bobcats and stuff.
Fred, I've been to a Babies R Us. I got you.
Oh, yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
I have a couple questions. First off, I want to know, why is it that Jerry Rice, the greatest of all time, isn't catching a bunch of heat for saying he used Stick'Em when he played and the Patriots get bashed hard for Deflategate? Second question, I think the most important thing moving forward in free agency is making sure we lock up a few guys. Revis, McCourty, what is the number on both? Well, we talked about that. But the first one, I'm going to give Jerry Rice slack. I know a lot of people are on him for saying that the Patriots should be punished and then admitting that he used Stick'Em. I mean, we all watched games back then. Fred Biletnikoff had it up and down his leg. It wasn't like they were trying to get away with anything back then.
Just a slight difference.
Okay.
When Fred Biletnikoff did it, it was legal. When Jerry Rice did it, it wasn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 81
I didn't know
or
that.
Something. But the biggest issue is, if Jerry Rice had used Stickum in the playoffs this year to lead his team to the Super Bowl, it would be a major scandal.
Well, listen, and
it happened 25 years ago in like
saying
the good
that he
old
did
days.
Something,
yeah,
right. Yeah, and, 25
and,
years
right.
ago. It's not a big
and people
story.
Say, right. You know, what's Goodell going to say about that? First of all, he wasn't commissioner back then.
Right.
So all he has to what's worry about is what has happened yeah. since he's been commissioner. I do think Roger Goodell has, you know, a duty to always right. go after any infraction. When there's
sure.
evidence of an infraction, his job is to investigate that and look at it. So I don't blame him for the investigation on the Patriots. I do blame his office for the leaks.
Right.
That's what pisses me off. Do the investigation. Let us know what happens after. But these leaks, that's what pissed me off about the whole thing.
Right. And I agree with that.
You know?
Because it is his job. If somebody reports something, and we've talked about this, people report things every week, every Monday
right.
after games, and they get investigated.
Teams send in films.
Right, various
and, yeah.
levels.
Yeah.
But
didn't it seem like it warranted, given when it happened, didn't it seem like it warranted Goodell saying pretty much everything he said in his opening remarks at the Super Bowl presser the week before? Couldn't he have come out that Tuesday or Wednesday and said, look, here's the deal. Here's what's going
right.
on.
When the league acknowledged the investigation either Monday morning or Tuesday morning after the AFC title game.
Yeah. Right?
That was the time. Issue a quick statement. It's my job as the commissioner of the National Football League to look out for the integrity of the game and all
could,
reports.
And it could last.
And the next
you know,
time you hear from us.
Exactly.
We'll
right. The problem was between that and where we are now and, you know, 11 of 12 balls. No, it was 1 of 12 balls and
there
this
was,
report and that report. And they got a guy in a locker room and Jake
right.
Glazier and a guy walking to the field and taking a pee.
It was conspicuously silent for too long. And I think that resulted in...
Except
in,
through the leaks.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what the leaks resulted
yeah.
in. And I think that's what people were
upset. Short of an apology, the only thing I will accept from the league right now is to say, look, the Patriots may have done something. They may not have. We screwed this up. There's no way we can come to a definitive finding. So we're dropping it, and we're going to just change our protocol going forward. Short of an apology, that's all I want to hear from them. Because
yeah.
right now, there's as much circumstantial evidence that the Colts deflated that one ball than the Patriots deflated 11.
But, well, I mean, how? We don't even know if it's one ball.
Yeah, I mean, why are we believing the leak that says it was one ball?
That's my point. Why are we believing the leak that said it was 11?
I'm not.
Right.
So so to say that there's as much circumstantial evidence that the Colts did it
there
is not accurate.
It's just reports on both sides.
But what's the report that the Colts did it?
That there's evidence.
Besides Patriots fans saying that,
where's where's the evidence that the Patriots did it?
I didn't say anything
right?
about evidence. I said, where's the report that the Colts did?
Well, the fact that there's no leak yet, I mean, but there is a report that now it might have been just one ball.
I know. So how do you then tie that to the Colts?
Well, how did that one ball get deflated?
How do you know it's the Jaquel Jackson ball?
How do I know that the Patriots deflated 11?
I have no idea.
They're both leaks.
I'm willing to ignore
they're
all of it.
Reports.
You somehow are only willing to ignore
no.
the 11 out of 12
I'm
part.
I'm saying neither one should even have been leaked. And right now.
I don't care about the leaks.
Right now,
I don't care about the footballs. I don't care about any of it. I think it's all a bunch of nonsense.
In terms of leaks, there's no more evidence that the Patriots did anything than the Colts. In terms of leaks. I don't know what they're finding behind the scenes.
Let me just say this. You talk about circumstantial evidence. I don't care about the deflating of footballs and all that. Andy and I talked about this when it first happened. I'm not Tom Brady. I don't know how much that helps you.
Well,
I wish I knew.
We actually solved it, I believe, on the Tuesday afterwards. In all likelihood, the procedures in place were not airtight to know exactly what was going on. We need to change our procedures and increase the range so that Aaron Rodgers is happy and Tom Brady are happy. Within reason.
Right.
But right now it's not within reason.
Right.
So within reason. So let them throw their 50 touchdown passes with a ball they like.
Right.
Move on.
And that's probably what's going to happen. But the whole circumstantial evidence part of it, I find it awfully hard to believe that this was a conspiracy by the Colts to do something to the Patriots that they actually did. So they deflated the balls. And then went to the NFL to complain that the Patriots were deflating the balls.
That'd be ballsy.
I find that really, really hard to believe.
More hard to believe that the Patriots deflated 11 balls.
Much, much more so.
I do too.
Yeah.
That is like a – and to me, if that's the case, it's a far more egregious offense.
Jim Irsay should be stripped of the
yeah.
– and I'm not exaggerating.
I mean,
if it went that far,
it's premeditated,
he should be stripped of the franchise.
Setting up of another team.
He should be Donald Sterling.
Like, that is horrific.
I was framed like a
– To me, yeah, you're right. He should be kicked out of the league if that's the case. And ignorance is not an excuse.
Yeah.
If that's the kind of organization they run down there, then he should be out.
Pagano should be out of a job.
Cheating to try to win is one thing. Cheating to try to screw
set somebody else up
is even worse in my case, in my opinion.
Like I got this.
I don't find that believable. That just doesn't. That doesn't pass the old PFW smell.
And if
test.
You want to tell me that the Patriots didn't do anything to the footballs, I'm willing to accept that too.
Yeah.
And that they just were where they always are, where Brady always has them under 12.5, and they all passed. I'm fine with that too. And that no one really quote unquote did anything wrong. But if you're asking me what's less believable, it's less believable to me that the Colts deflated the footballs and then went to the NFL and said the Patriots deflated these. Look.
Well, only one, according to the report.
According to the report that you're choosing to believe, only one.
Listen, I told you that each one.
And by the way, they were all under.
I actually like.
One of them was significantly under.
According to a report.
According to the last report that you're buying.
I enjoy this argument because the voices in you two for your heads are actual real voices. He has Chris Mortensen talking to his head, that 11.
No, but I'm not.
Rap
Andy,
sheet saying one. You actually have voices.
This is not a Fred Paul. This is not an argument. Because
well, you're picking
I'm with,
and choosing which reports
no, no,
to
no, no. I don't care about any of it. I'm not picking and choosing any of it.
But you err on the 11.
No.
Well,
I'm not erring on the 11,
Andy. Everyone was
very
quick to say the Patriots were guilty.
Freddie might be
very quick,
but
well,
I wasn't.
That's how everything works. In news, when there's a major story,
sure.
You know, there was a
guilty,
fire.
It's guilty.
Immediately,
it's
there's all these reports
right.
of the marathon.
Right.
There were more bombs. They were at the library.
Right.
They were under the. And everybody buys it because right. they're thirsty for news
yeah,
and information.
I just don't
want
to. I'm choosing sort of not to buy any of the reports, whereas Fred is buying the one that only had
no,
the one
No, I'm not buying
it.
I'm saying that.
That's the only difference.
To me. You know, there's as much evidence as that as there were the Patriots.
I agree, zero.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And I'm with you. That's why I'm saying this is not an argument. I'm with
right,
you.
Right, right.
I'm with
I put
you.
No credence in
I want to hear the. I want to hear
none.
The leak.
I can believe the Patriots would do that to seek an advantage. You know, it's right or wrong, whatever. I think that happens in sports all the time. I don't think people do things to set up other teams to look like they were trying to
that's,
seek it.
That was the
to
point
me, that's
I was
a next step in this ridiculous. Now it's like espionage, and it's reached a whole different level.
Well,
I just don't buy that.
What I want to hear is the league said, we could find no evidence of any wrongdoing. We're dropping this, but we are changing the protocol so that no one can be accused of this in the future.
I think that's the most likely outcome.
Is that enough for Robert Kraft?
Maybe not.
Because nowhere in there was there.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, we ruined
well,
your Super
regardless,
Bowl.
Regardless, I think that they should apologize for the leaks. I think they should apologize for the leaks. And I think that if I was Goodell,
but
unless I'm the one that leaked it, I'd be really pissed off at my office.
But he's never going to do that because he's never going to admit that it came from his office.
Probably well, accurate.
How else? Where
Paul's
else could
right.
it come
oh, no, no,
from?
No, Fred, no, but whoa. I'm with you. I know where it came from, but Goodell's never going to
admit
it came
Fred.
From his office.
He's yeah. not going to admit it.
How do you know that unnamed sources are
well,
coming from my office?
I mean, I believe
office?
That Bob Kravitz was told it by someone from the Colts, but the Colts had to get it from the league, right?
No.
The
Bob
Kravitz thing is not the
there
is
an
I'm
investigation
upset about
is all he reported. Yeah. There is an investigation.
Mortensen's report about the footballs being all undeflated and Rappaport's
right.
report about only one of them.
Right.
Those are leaks from
and,
the office.
And Glazier's report of video footage
right.
and blah, blah,
and even
blah.
If, even if Mortensen got that from the Colts had to have gotten that from someone on the inside at the league.
Right. No,
yeah, see, I don't
believe,
think Mortensen got that from the Colts.
I believe he got it from the league. I'm with you. Yeah. I think they're leaks from the league. I think Goodell's never going to admit that, though.
Well,
not publicly.
And he also really can't. How many times are you going to bungle these major things?
Well, listen.
He just did a mea culpa for the Ray Rice, the entirety of that.
Well, that's because he didn't know that domestic violence was wrong.
Right.
He needed experts.
But
we got to talk Greg
Goodell
Hart,
has too. Also been on
experts
record
to
of
tell
saying
him
that
that's wrong.
He feels like there's a lot of people, and you know he should talk. He makes $44 million a year, but there's a lot of people in the league office probably making too much money. And
him.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Him.
Starts
but,
the top.
But this might be an excuse for him to clean a little house. Because I've said it before, there's a lot of people that have been there before him and a lot of people with big egos that work in the league that have their little fiefdoms, and this might be a way for him to kind of clean out the people who might eventually stab him in the back.
And I was told that there's a new something at the league, CFO, or who is cutting a lot of fat in a lot of different areas.
Yeah.
And that would fall into that if you can get, you know, two birds with one stone. You get rid of the old guard that was making too much money and replace them with actual people who were, A, making the proper amount of money.
Give us back our stuff.
Yeah, we want an AFC title game party.
Right.
real quick, we need to talk about, because SPFW again, someone asked if the Patriots were going after Greg Hardy. I don't think so. Financially, off-field, all of that. But can you believe that? He reaches a civil settlement with the woman. She is now unavailable for the proceedings, and it just goes away. Like, the ultimate in just you bought yourself.
Don't you watch Law and Order?
You beat the snot out of her.
All the time.
You gave her some. But it's not right.
No, it's not. It absolutely not right, but it happens all the time.
It's just,
unfortunately,
it's disgusting.
Victims aren't willing to come forward, and in this case,
I mean,
it's
I'm glad
clear
she
as
got
day
paid,
what happened.
I mean, I guess that's, you know, if I'm her, I guess I say, do I feel better if he goes to jail or I get $2 million?
Yeah, right. That $2 million, and he never talks to me again.
Right,
stays away.
Well, that's the one issue.
He's out of my life.
Right, as long as he isn't beating me still.
Right,
but it's hard as the victim to say I'm going to do the right thing.
Right.
And not take $2 million and send him to jail.
Right. That's why I laugh at these people who say, "Oh, she should just do this."
Right, screw you.
Right.
Right. Plus, how long is he going to go to jail for? Like,
but we all agree.
Minimal.
Too. We all agree the Patriots aren't signing him.
No,
right?
No chance.
No.
Well, plus financially, they're not signing. The guy was played on the franchise tag last year for $13 million. He has baggage. He's not going to get $100 million, but he's not going to get what they would want to pay him as the third defensive end depth guy pass rusher. And, I mean, that's not even in the ballpark of their finances.
I mean, I agree with everything you said, but I don't think that they would be signing him as a third guy depth pass rusher. I think he'd be the guy.
Right.
But they have other issues other than they have two starting defensive ends right now.
I agree with you.
It makes no sense to go after him on any level, you know, PR-wise, Patriot Way-wise, on-field-wise, financial-wise.
Now, if
there's
you could
no
get
logic.
Him, what if you could get him cheap?
I have no interest in him.
No, but is
now,
it just,
I'm actually
it's just
getting
because
confused.
He's a bad guy?
And this is, I'm being dead serious. I'm not joking here.
Because I agree with
is
you.
Is he
I don't
the
want
one
him
that threw her down onto the pile of, like, machine guns?
I believe that is the case.
Okay, yeah, I have no interest in him.
Oh, my God.
No, less than zero interest in him.
Yeah, I'm with you. You don't have to sell yourself.
The beating of a woman is just a part of the overall culture of his life that I want no part of.
He's a changed man, though.
No, he isn't.
He sat and talked with Robert Kraft for free agency. So
what?
I'm giving you the hypothetical. He sat down with Mr. Kraft, and Mr. Kraft is convinced he's a changed man.
No interest.
Richie Incognito?
I'm with you.
Also don't understand those things. How do guys get contracts that aren't minimum? A guy like that, how do you not get the minimum?
I guess Florio wrote today that was a lot less than what was reported.
But he still got more than the minimum.
$1.1 million. So
how is it not the base minimum?
I think he got a $100,000 signing bonus that Florio was saying.
How
did he get that?
How?
What do you think?
Who are you competing with to sign him?
That's exactly what Florio said. Who are they competing with?
Don't tell me I'm thinking like Florio.
What do you think, though, that says about the beginning of Pegula's ownership? Do you think that is not a good sign for his ownership that – you know, that's one of
the first players
free
he goes
agent
after.
Signings that
well,
they made.
Well, let's take it a step further and go more significant. Greg Hardy. Let's stay on that. That makes a lot of sense. What did Rex say? And I think your buddy Tommy Curran wrote this yesterday. What did Rex Ryan say he wanted to do?
Create a bully.
Wanted to be bullies.
Right.
Well, you hire one who's actually a bully out there for everybody to see, and now you go out and sign Greg Hardy, who's another bully,
right,
who's beating up
Richie
women.
Incognito.
Yeah, no, you already signed Richie Incognito.
Okay,
now
you go out
and get Greg Hardy.
The Richie Incognito one, though. Talk about a low-hanging fruit column.
And
they wanted bullies,
he's
and you signed a
bully. But here's the thing about Richie Incognito. There has been an amount of time between down there and now. So maybe Richie Incognito has seen the light.
No, he hasn't.
Maybe he has. Wait, but the bottom line,
you
got to
play along with the hypotheticals here.
But this is as bad as the year 7 jump.
All right. Just
it's the 7-time bully jump.
But listen, let's hear me out.
You can do it. You can do it,
my
Freddy.
God.
You almost did it.
It's snowing down like Andy.
Let's just say that there has been enough time where he has seen the light, okay? He wasn't that good to begin with.
Right.
He wasn't that good a guard. He really wasn't. He never was.
I agree with you.
You know?
But he's a competitive NFL player.
Oh, and he's a cheap shot artist, and he's
No, I'm just saying skill-wise, he probably is one of the best 64 guards. He's probably a starting caliber guard.
He's a starting caliber guard. He's just very good.
Yeah, but you can get another one. He's not like...
He's not a real pro.
He's not worth his baggage. But
that
doesn't mean he's not worth playing in the league at all.
Because I'm with you, Fred. 20 to 64 are the same.
Right. And I just
they are. There's a handful of really good players at that position, and the rest are all the same.
What got lost in that whole thing is he was never that good.
I agree.
You know, he wasn't Greg Hardy, where some team might say, you know what, he's worth it.
And if I'm a Rex Ryan, and... this is probably my last shot. I didn't really have the chance to do it all my way with New York. I'm interested in Greg Hardy, right?
You know, I was thinking
this is going to be.
Good. I've said that, you know, the Patriots are Rex Ryan's white whale. He is Captain Ahab.
And I believe it now. Correct.
Wouldn't it be something if just before the season, Belichick says, I retire. And so now we can never beat Bill Belichick. Just despite Rex Ryan, he quits football.
That would be funny.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Bobby's in Squanum, Mass. Hey, Bobby.
Squanum.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Great.
I'm still riding this high, you know, whatever it is, 10 days later. I have a theory that I just went into a coma after the curse catch, and, like, this is just a reality that I've made up in my own mind.
We're all living it then.
I know. It's been great, though, but I just had a quick story. I work in film production, and I was working on a commercial shoot that Richard Sherman was in earlier this year. And, you know, I got to talk to him a bunch. And before it happened, you know, I wanted to do as much research on him and his personality as I could so that, you know, just, you know, for whatever small talk. And so I'm watching all these videos of him. And, you know, obviously there's the Aaron Andrews thing that everybody's seen and, like, that Skip Bayless video. And I was just, like, I was terrified to meet the guy because he seemed like a total a-hole from all of those things.
Did somebody see Skip Bayless through a peephole?
Oh, no. Did you see the thing with...
Yeah, Fred's just being an idiot. Don't let him distract you. Keep going.
Well, I don't know what
Skip Bayless, when he fought him on TV and said, I'm better at life than you, just admit it, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Terrell Suggs?
Anyway, I'm like...
No, Richard Sherman.
Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
I remember
that. I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
All right.
Sherman put him in his place.
Yeah, he said, I'm a Stanford. From now on, when you refer to me, you will call me all pro Stanford graduate Richard Sherman. I'm better at life than you, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, so I was just completely terrified to meet the dude. But when he showed up, he was the nicest guy that I've ever worked with, especially as far as like athletes go and everything. He was just so friendly and, you know, he looked you in the eye and called you by name and, you know, gave everybody the time of day, even like the, you know, PAs and people who shouldn't be talking to him are like up there talking to him. And he was just super friendly. And at the end of the shoot, I told him, I was like, thank you so much for, you know, what you did to Peyton Manning. That was fantastic to watch because I hate him so much. And I was like, but don't you ever touch Tom Brady. And he was like, oh, okay, all right, Tom, terrific, huh? That's your guy? And I was like, yep. I was like, you hands off at all times. And he was like, I don't know, he's getting a little old there. And I was like, I don't care. He's like, he's still got it. And he was like, well, don't worry about it because we don't play you guys this season anyway. And I was like, oh, really? You want to check the schedule? I think we play you guys in February. And like, he was like, oh, I don't like all that stuff. But anyway, I kind of like called it to his face.
That's good.
So, yeah, just wanted to share. But keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks, Bobby.
You're the best.
All right.
Now I wonder, did Sherman say? You know, he said he named everybody by name. Did he say Bobby?
Yeah,
Bobby from Squanum.
I actually like Sherman.
Me too. And I told you I came back from media day liking him.
I think he gets caught up in the emotion and all that stuff, but. You know, and
like
he's probably his own man, but we all know that, you know, sometimes the personality of the coach trickles down. There's nothing that Pete Carroll does to, you know, stop Richard Sherman from doing what he does.
Right.
No, it's to the contrary.
Right.
I think Pete Carroll thinks that helps the team.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. That sort of edgy aggressiveness.
Right.
He went out of his way to defend Marshawn Lynch when all of those questions were coming down.
Well, he had to. Yeah.
He went a little overboard.
We talked
though.
About this morning. You know, after seeing the video of that game.
I don't look at it as any
I think
big
right
a deal
now, at this very moment in time, Pete Carroll hates Marshawn Lynch's guts for laughing at him after, you know, probably the worst moment of his life.
This guy
comes off the field laughing at me. I hate you.
Don't you think Marshawn Lynch hates him?
I don't think there can be any comparison.
Marshawn Lynch might have hated him before.
I don't think there can be possibly any comparison in the hate.
Right.
Between anything Carroll's feeling toward Marshawn Lynch and whatever Lynch is feeling toward Carroll. Pete Carroll cost Marshawn Lynch his chance in the sun. That was immortality for Marshawn Lynch.
Right.
He was going to score the game-winning touchdown in the last 20 seconds, and Pete Carroll didn't give him a chance.
Right.
Nothing can compare the hatred of that. So I would have come off the field with a smirk to my face, too, just like Marshawn Lynch did.
Well, I don't think I would have had a smirk. I think I would have been strangling him.
Well,
you know me.
It would have been Babies R Us all
over
again.
Fred. But, yeah, that hate goes two ways right now. The thing I have a problem with, did you hear they were playing a lot of clips from Pete with Today Show, Matt Lauer.
Yeah.
And he was like,
it's okay, and we all need to grieve, and you take as long as you need, because that's healthy, and we'll get to... No, that's not the way. You have to move. If he allows them to grieve into, like, April and May, and for there to be dissension, and that's not healthy for the football team.
No, it is. But Pete's a different guy. He really is. He's all about...
I think he's done.
I think he's done, too. Yeah. I think he lost the locker room.
I think that team is
20
done.
Seconds left in the Super Bowl.
D-U-N done. Ken Norton saw it. He got the hell out of Dodge.
Could be.
Yeah. Plus, he got a promotion.
I mean, it's really hard
Raiders,
to. I mean, we know it's really hard to repeat, and they came very close to doing it. But then, when you come that close and it ends that way,
that's tough.
Well, it'd be one thing if they just got stopped,
right?
You know, and they, you know,
but it doesn't end that way. Like you say, like you know, when it happens like that, like it has to other. That's like borderline
that's
unprecedented.
No, this it was historical. You're right.
Like
you're
that, right. It doesn't happen that way because it shouldn't happen that way.
Now they might be good enough to overcome it because I do think that's a very good football team. And just like with Brady and Belichick, I think they'd be good enough to overcome virtually whatever personnel decisions they make here because they're that good.
Yeah, but the first time that something comes of question, players are going to be like, there he goes again.
Yeah, and they should.
Marshawn Lynch is a key factor in it.
Right.
Yeah. Like if he were, you know, if it were Curse, like one of those receivers, we can move on from that.
Would you be surprised?
Lynch is the core of your team.
He's the Lynch pin almost.
I see what you did
would
there.
You be surprised? That now, he's we always see running backs, they can lose it overnight.
Right.
Anyway.
Except when you go to Seattle, you get better.
Would you be surprised if he just was not as anywhere near as effective? He had like a Ray Rice year next year.
No, and I
all
think
of a sudden his production went way down.
Well, it's going to eventually, right?
And you, well, I also I mean, think he might
gonna, be he's 30 now, right?
Sulking. Like, yes. I think it might be a mental.
Well, that
and
could
you don't
be
know
too,
when
yeah.
it when
yeah.
you're doing it necessarily.
Especially
and I don't
like
think
that.
He cares.
He don't make guys
he's out
miss.
Of his flipping mind.
Right.
The dude is loco.
Right.
You know, he's this power runner who runs over guys. If your heart's not in it,
right.
and you're not giving
and
your
you don't
all,
give that extra.
And all of a sudden, instead of 771 yards after contact or whatever it was, ridiculous number, you know, it goes down to 400 yards after contact. Well, he's just a pedestrian guy now.
Now, what if Pete cuts him off from the supply? The fountain of youth they have in Seattle. Because I remember watching Marshawn Lynch on the Bills, and he wasn't as good as Marshawn Lynch on the Seahawks.
No.
Something got into him.
And it's not like he has this great offensive line where he just, you know, gets an escort to the end zone. He runs through people. He runs
a terrible
ridiculous.
Offensive right. line to the
so,
contrary.
It's just funny. It's funny. You get better when you go to Seattle. You get bigger, stronger, and better. And a little bit off with your testosterone levels.
All right. Why don't you just say what you're talking about?
He always does.
Right.
Fred, he's saying they have a lot of guys spending PEDs.
Right.
And not just Adderall.
Bob at Smithfield, Rhode Island, has been holding on for almost an hour. Thanks, Bob.
How come he's not Bobby?
Bobby. Bobby in Smithfield.
He's in Smithfield. They don't always
Bobby.
Talk
you need
Bobby.
To put him on the air.
Bob.
He must have.
He did put him on
I
the
did.
Air, but maybe he was
he might
waiting
have fallen
for
asleep,
over an hour.
He's
not
died.
There anymore.
We're not moving training camp down back to Bryant, so I'm sorry. Let's go to.
He waited an hour and
never my house.
Let's go to Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Are you sure that wasn't Richie Campanella you doubled over?
No.
Good story. Love it.
That was another great
phrase. About impact plays this year and versus in comparison to like people that we acquired in free agency and you know who we got in the draft. And who would you say had the bigger impact on the offense this year, Brandon LaFell or Brian Storr?
That's a good question.
Brandon
LaFell. I was going to say Stork.
I figured because we always disagree.
No, but it allowed Connolly to move to guard and Wendell, and I think it just stabilized the offensive line, put guys where they were, you know, better suited. But I do think LaFell, as the season moved on, became a big part. I mean, he was that first down guy that got drives moving, you know?
They were both good.
I think he had a terrific year.
And they both kind of
complimentary.
They both kind of had their impact around the same time, or at least the start of their impact around the same time.
But I think, take it away, if you never had Stork to be able to insert at center, or you never had LaFell, which would hurt the team more?
My answer would be LaFell, but I'm with Andy.
Although,
with what you're about to say, I don't think it would have mattered either way.
I can see what you're saying, though, Fred, because if the O-line doesn't hold up, Brady doesn't have time to throw. And
doesn't matter who's out there.
But, see, I don't think the
I'm not sure the O-line
quote-unquote O-line wouldn't hold up. It would have been the same. Brady would have been getting rid of the ball in 2 seconds. And
you would have had
just like the AFC
Wendell
Championship.
Wendell at center and Klein
it's a good
at guard.
Question. It's a good question.
Something just like you would have had more right.
Stork didn't play in the AFC Championship game. And
Tim Wright would have been on the field instead of LaFell. And Josh Klein would have been on the field instead of Stork. I still think you would have been good, and I still think you would have had just as good a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. And as far as Revis goes, I think the biggest thing with him, I don't know if you guys feel this way. I think the past, I think more importantly, Bill views him as sort of like, and Tom Brady, Logan Mankins, Randy Moss type upper echelon. Like, you know, Randy Moss after the 07 season got that 3-year deal for like $27 million, and, you know, he got his money. And I think Revis is obviously going to command a lot more money, but I think they know what they have in him, obviously, and just what you can do. I mean, you see the effect on the defense, how great he is.
It's just so evident. I mean, there's no arguing it.
It is.
Right?
And he's got his championship now. And if he, you know, is he, you know, some people say, I was watching the other night, Ron Boyd just said, you know, he's a different guy off the field. He's a total assassin. And when it comes to money and football, it's two totally different things. And you know, it's all about the money. And, you know, Ty Law Inc. It's Darrell Revis Inc. And so that'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But I think he stays. I'm with you guys. I think he stays. I think he really looked like he enjoyed it here. And he wins. He won. You know, he won. And he's made money, but he'll continue to make money and hopefully continue to win.
Yeah. So I mean, I think the whole thing, now he's won, could play against the Patriots. I mean, as much as he could play for them, yeah. I got my ring now. Now,
much like you evaluate seasons after the year, after negotiations, I'll tell you if that helped
right,
you or hurt you.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, guys.
All right. Thanks, Christian.
I do think it's going to be, if he stays, it's going to be because how much he liked playing here. For
right.
Belichick, with the Patriots.
And his teammates and the whole
because
thing.
Because I think that, you know, he might, like Andy says, I'll tell you after, he might in his remarks when he stays say, you know, we won, we had a chance to win again. I don't think that's high on his list. He won.
Right.
So I think that lessens the chance, but I think because he liked it so much here. Eric was talking about it earlier in the show. He fit in so well here. If he stays, and I think he is going to stay, that's going to be the big reason why.
I'll go back to what Kraft said a couple times, you know, over the course of the season, that he really likes this locker room. He likes the camaraderie and the chemistry.
You can tell.
And you look at the guys at the top in each position group. Revis, pros pro, right? Sets the tone for the rest of the guys. Wilfork, right? Brady, you know, Connolly. These
Gronk.
I think Gronk was kind of like the brother that, you know. But I think as far as the leaders in this locker room, they were all of that ilk, you know.
But even to Gronk's defense, whenever he had to speak, he towed the company line.
I don't think Gronk is the clown gorilla that everybody thinks he is.
He was a great practice guy.
I think Gronk is miscast as the class clown.
He's a football
whatever.
He loves football.
He's a football savant. Everything there is to know about football and do football, he can do that. That's it.
Yeah.
I know that you can't bring yourself
to
say it.
I've used this comparison before. I think Rob Gronkowski and Jessica Simpson are like the same person.
Oh, God.
I think they realized that there was money in being the lovable dope. And Jessica Simpson is now like a multi-billionaire from their clothing lines. She parlayed saying, wait, but is it chicken or is it tuna? I don't get it. Into like this massive career. Now, she has a singer. She has skills. And I think Gronk has realized, this works for me. I'm just going to roll.
Yeah, but the difference is Jessica Simpson isn't the best at what she does. Gronk is.
No, I know.
You
but
know?
The comparison is the off the field, the character. The character. Gronk's character is irrelevant to his play. Right, and that's irrelevant. I'm talking about the character.
I really don't want to get into an argument about Jessica Simpson. I'm not going there.
But defend Andy? I disagree with Andy's point. But Andy's point is that neither one of them are as dumb as they appear.
Well, okay.
That's his point. All right. Has nothing to do with who's better at what they do.
Right, yeah.
That's not the comparison. The comparison
is a singer to him as a tight end.
Right.
You know that I think he's the greatest tight end that's ever walked the planet.
Yeah.
I don't think either one of them is very smart.
Well, but what? How smart? How? Like, are they going to sit down and break down Einstein? No. Yeah, book smart. Then I think about 48 guys in that locker room aren't book smart. I think there's a lot of morons that walk through here. Doesn't mean you can't be a human being and a football player.
Well,
and I think Gronk is a very good human
being. Football player?
Because everybody likes to mock him that he's like...
I just don't think he's very smart.
It's pure God's gift. Like, it's just because God gave him
hands. He works hard.
I think he works hard. I think he's smart in terms of football. I think he picked up this offense quickly and well. And I think Brady realized early on, this guy is not the idiot that...
So, let's put it another way. If it wasn't for football, would Rob Gronkowski be successful?
Yes.
See, I completely disagree with that.
I do.
If he didn't have football as his platform,
would he be a PhD professor at Harvard? No.
Yes.
What about
anything
that
he could
be? Athletics. Would he be successful?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think he needs to be a professional athlete. I think he would have gotten into sales or entertainment or something.
Like his
and
dad started
people.
He has natural charisma. Sporting goods stores.
Yeah.
He might have done something.
Well, see, that's the unfortunate flaw. He might have just fallen into the family business. But I think he would have been. I think he is a successful human being.
But he could have. To your point, he could have taken the family business to places right. that it might not otherwise
sure.
have been.
Sure.
Okay.
That's your argument yes. that he has that type of.
His personality, his charisma would yes. make him a success.
Yeah, I don't think he would have been a textbook guy that like his brain power, right. smarts or whatever. I think street smarts and reading people and manipulating people and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he could be a lot more savvy than he puts on.
I think he is.
You know, maybe he realizes, you know, this is the character that can make me money.
That's how I look at
you
it.
You know, I'm not going to, you know, make money being Mr. Cerebral. I'm going right. to make money being...
I'll tell you what,
I could be Rob Ninkovich and just
and you know
be
what,
nobody.
You know what I'll tell you that might be, you know, lend credence to what you're saying? With all the partying and the fooling around, no DUIs. No children right. out of wedlock.
Which is what I've always said.
You know, so maybe there is a little bit of method to his madness. You know what I mean?
He does that. He likes to party. No one's ever going to say he doesn't like
Let's
to party.
Put him in Mensa.
But he is such a bitter, angry old
snarky.
Man.
He's so snarky.
He really is. The hate in his heart is just unbelievable.
It's no hate at all.
Wow.
That's funny.
Thank you, Fred, for taking it the way it was meant to. It was supposed to be a joke. Thank you for taking it as such.
I don't know why you hate Gronk. I don't know what he did to you over the course of the years.
I don't hate him. I just don't think he'd be successful if he wasn't a great athlete. Doesn't mean I hate him. I think he'd have a 0% chance of being anywhere near as successful in anything but football. That's all.
I think he would be successful.
Doesn't mean I hate him. I think he's a lovable guy. I really enjoy talking to him. I couldn't be anywhere near the... Any more opposite of hate for Gronk. I think he's a great guy to talk to. I love when he's interacting and being goofy with Martin Morales with the Spanish whips. Right. I think he's terrific.
But
I think
as long as he doesn't
guy.
Punch any safeties on the way to the end zone.
I think he's a terrific guy.
You look at
and
a
he
guy
calls him an a-hole.
You look at a guy like Johnny Manziel, who probably likes
to
party
fines,
as
way.
Much as Gronk, but
well,
he's an idiot.
Super Bowl.
He was throwing haymakers.
Gronk gets it.
Him and Who-Man, did you see that, Freddie?
Who?
Gronk and Who-Man got fined for their role in the
When you throw haymakers and then say, I decided to throw haymakers, you're probably going to get fined.
But he said, no, Roger.
Roger, it wasn't me.
Another example of his untold brilliance.
Not so much
Don't find me, Raj.
Not so much about Who-Man, but I think Gronk should have been fined.
He should have. Yeah. He threw haymakers and then said he threw haymakers.
Who-Man was throwing punches too, Freddie. And I'm sure I didn't see the Seattle reports, but I'm sure they all got fined.
Oh, yeah. Bennett and
Irvin.
Irvin got the largest fine because he was like, you know, the hockey instigator. Yeah. And the rest all got the 82.5 or whatever the fine is.
Let's go to Jeff in Vegas who's been holding on. Jeff, I hear you got a good story coming out of Vegas.
Yeah. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Swimming in money.
Yeah, I was hanging out with Malcolm Butler at the Chateau nightclub on Saturday night.
The Chateau.
Now, where is the Chateau? Which where is that?
Chateau is at the Paris. It's right in between, like, Planet Hollywood and the New Cromwell, which is where the Dre's nightclub is. It's a very hot spot. But it was very cool, and he was just sort of like half the people there didn't really know who he was, and the other half weren't Patriot fans. He was just hanging out, and you could, like, talk to him. You know, he signed an autograph. Some like, greedy bouncers are trying to charge $100 per picture. But for like a true fan like me and some others, you know, he was totally cool. He was hanging out. He seemed like a, you know, obviously a real nice guy.
He is a very nice guy. There's no doubt about that. And I also don't fault him for I would milk everything out of this moment that
absolutely.
I possibly could right now.
Yeah,
I know
absolutely.
He says he doesn't want to be a one-hit wonder. And, he, you know, he feels like he's got the talent to milk this. Milk it as hard as you can, son.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the same token, I think he's not going to give up the day job. He looked a little bit out of his element presenting at the Grammy Awards.
Well, he's from the deep South.
Yeah, he is.
He's a country boy.
That was uncomfortable.
Yeah. But it was funny.
Yeah.
I have to watch it. I haven't seen it yet. I have to watch this.
Yeah,
the fact that Edelman had to sort of explain what he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to just say for the lifelong fans, I'm with tremendous respect for all the listeners who are like, oh, yeah, I discovered you guys 6 months ago or a couple years ago. I think you guys started in, what, like 1998? Yeah, somewhere in that late 90s with the podcast.
Yeah, right? 99 maybe. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and then I just know growing up as a kid, it was always just how it's come full circle. It was always like the Steelers and the Cowboys that the kids were fans of because the Patriots are such an embarrassment. And now to have them have, you know, arguably the best dynasty in NFL history for the ones, you know, that were like our age there from the beginning, I mean, now it's just so sweet. I mean, that's really, you know.
Yep.
We've come a long, long way.
We sure have. Now we're on top, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to celebrate. I don't care about the draft. I don't care about free agency. I don't care about the bees or the Sox. All four rings, all celebration for about 6 more months. Lock it in.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Jeff in Vegas.
I'm sure we have time to get to this down the road, but this is the same dynasty, Fred. I know you're the expert on dynasties.
Yeah.
Same coach
and
quarterback.
Within the same dynasty.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is up there among the dynasties.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
San Francisco, Steelers in the 70s. Absolutely.
That's it.
There's right. I think, though, there's the macro dynasty of Belichick, Brady, Kraft, but then there's the micro dynasty of the first three championships.
And then the Gronk era.
Because those were basically the same players. These are completely different players that won this
right.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean?
Well, you got the Wilfork Bridge.
Well,
one
yeah,
guy.
But
he's a big guy. Though.
He is a big guy.
He's big enough to be a bridge.
But
right.
I still think when you talk about Kraft, Brady, and Belichick, as long as they're on the team, it's still the same dynasty.
That's what I'm saying. That's yeah. the macro dynasty.
Right, right.
The micro dynasty was the first three championships.
Well, the three
well now
and
you're
four,
talking about
yeah.
individual teams, I think. But
no, but like you, there was like 20. Two or three guys that were on all three title teams.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Right.
There's one
yeah.
other than Brady
yeah.
that was on any of the other three that are on this one.
But there's a quarterback, a coach, and an owner.
Right.
So
well, I consider,
together.
I'm with Fred, I consider it the same dynasty.
Yeah.
I agree with Fred because of that reason.
Yeah, and the Ming dynasty lasted how long? Thousands of years. I'm sure a lot of the soldiers were different in the latter part of that dynasty.
I think
but it was still
yes.
Ming.
I think yes.
It was still Ming
right,
at
yes.
quarterback.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Ming the Merciless.
Ming was at the helm.
Right.
And Ming could throw.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ming could throw.
They didn't
have
a running game, though.
They couldn't run. Another. They used to say another stupid running play whenever they ran the ball.
I know we got 5 minutes left, but it feels like we need an. All right, that's going to do it.
I think he graduated from Rice University.
Oh, Fred. It took me a second to get that.
Canadian.
I love our just overly offensive gong or the hat dance that he pulled. The only time he ever plays a soundbite is to offend
to right. get us in trouble.
Yeah,
all right. Canadian Mike in Florida writes in, thanks for the great year. You've all certainly done your job, even Eric, as the Patriots have cemented their dynasty, speaking of that, now Bill and Tom have possibly gone down as the best ever. I found myself defending their honor on a more regular basis, Spygate, Deflategate, just a bunch of haters. Florida is a melting pot of football fans, so they are coming at me from all angles. I've gotten used to it, of course, and I have a lot of ammunition to defend the Patriots. But I think we can put one debate to rest. While you can make an argument that Brady and Montana are 1 and 1A in any particular order, but with this win, can we finally say that Brady has surpassed Manning in greatness? I think he was ahead of him to begin with, but now there is no argument. Please, guys, I need your affirmation. I still hear some people putting Manning and even Elway ahead of Brady. Ridiculous. Regardless, great season, more ammo for my defense. Looking forward to the draft and typical banter. I think Brady has surpassed Manning. Don't you?
Yeah. I thought that was
definitively.
Obvious.
I think it's been that way yeah. for a yeah. little while now.
But even, like, I thought definitively when Manning went down, this 3 weeks ago, whatever, a month ago, I thought that was really sort of closing the door on Brady's still elite. Brady's still winning in the postseason. You're still one and dunning.
I'm Fred predicted
you nothing.
It.
Yep.
You're done.
That's right.
Well, no, I mean,
no, he went down and losing the game. Another
oh,
one and
yeah,
done.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah. Another one and done
right.
where Brady's having this, taking a physical beating, comeback,
he's one and done, and
two
Brady's 14 making
point
another
deficits,
run.
And like, okay. Now, it's not totally fair because of the age difference. You know, you kind of, like, Brady is kind of behind him in the whole curve of everything.
Year and a half.
Only
so,
a year, yeah.
yeah,
not that.
But still, I mean, yeah, but a year and a half ago, Manning wasn't done.
Yeah, he was the MVP.
I know, but
so,
Manning hasn't done what
no,
Brady
yeah,
has
I
done.
Yeah, I think the door is closed.
No, I think the door is closed.
I actually think,
on Manning.
And I was thinking about this, that I think Brady's the best ever, as Paul mockingly made fun of me in the Patriots football week.
Oh, I don't make fun of anybody who thinks Brady's the best ever.
I think he's the best ever. True. I think Brady and Belichick are clearly the best combo ever. I think the one that's still very much up for debate, and people probably met, is Belichick, because he wins. You got the titles. But to me, he lacks the, and we've talked about this before, the Paul Brown, Bill Walsh, lasting legacy of how you altered the game in which you coached. And I actually think there's more competition for the greatest coach ever than there is for the combo or for Brady himself. I
I just can't get
maybe
that.
That's
to Belichick
one of those
yet.
Things that, like, 10 years after he's done, we'll start to see people and we'll say that that's the maybe. Belichick influence.
Well, I think that you might see like assistant coaches, like you said, 10 years from now, saying he really changed the way I watch film and his technique for scouting the game and, you know, analyzing the film and coming up with, you know, the weaknesses and the strengths of each team and how to attack
them.
He
certainly seems to get a lot of credit for game planning, specifically game to game against an opponent.
Yeah,
being
but I just
want to
see what he does with that plan. That is, to Andy's point, you know, Bill Walsh was credited with the West Coast offense, and then so many teams adopted the West Coast offense.
Yeah. And so many of the coaches are still using it.
And Paul Brown did
what
all the stuff that he did that was innovative, like you know, calling the plays from the sidelines and all kinds of communication, the huddle. I mean, ridiculous amounts of stuff.
What's Bill
is Bill's legacy going to be in terms of
they
things
check the
that
footballs
he did.
Now to see if they're inflated?
All right.
Well, I think building a team of versatile players is, you know, from a personnel standpoint.
But
being able to do different, you know, if I have an idea for a game plan, I can do it because I have that type of versatile squad.
I don't know.
It's
to
tough.
Me, everything you credit Bill with, and this is going to sound so disrespectful, I don't mean it that way, is obvious.
Yeah.
Like, you game plan for the next opponent. Really? We look at their strengths and try, like, having
that.
A versatile team. Wow, we want to be able to do a lot of things well, not just, like, well, it seems so obvious.
It is.
It's almost, and I don't know that history will
there
credit
isn't one
him
thing,
with specific
like you
things.
Said, like with Walsh, with the West Coast.
So I feel like he loses out on that.
But I do wonder if
I also,
there's...
by the way, Chuck Knoll. I don't know what Chuck Knoll did.
He had a lot of good players.
No, I'm being serious here. Yeah. Like, Chuck Knoll won 4 Super Bowls.
And he's not considered
dynasty.
One of those.
He's right. Yeah. And is that why? What did he do that was different?
Right.
I don't know that he did anything.
And I think that, and again, I never saw Bill say this on the record, and I doubt you ever will, but I've always gotten the impression that Bill thinks guys like Paul Brown are better than Vince Lombardi for that reason.
I really think he thinks that.
Column I told you guys about the guy who called Belichick's dad and they debated who the greatest ever was, Lombardi or Paul Brown. That Bill's dad was Paul Brown. So I think clearly part of Bill's love for Paul Brown comes down through
certainly.
His father's respect for Paul Brown.
Was he his godfather?
There's a tie there. There's something. But there's another guy, Clark Shaughnessy. No one's ever heard of Clark Shaughnessy.
Right.
Bill thinks Clark Shaughnessy's great, too.
I think that was his godfather.
I don't know. But
it's a lot of godfathers.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't have the coaches. None of the coaches have gone on to kind of live out the tradition of Belichick. Now, maybe McDaniels will. Maybe Patricia will. I don't know. I just think that's the one that it's weird. He's got his 4 rings, the winning percentage. He's got everything. But is he the no questions asked greatest
ever? I think maybe when you look at what he does, he certainly learns from others. And he might be like, I don't know how you would describe it, but the person who most was took from history and used it on his team. Took the best of everybody and took it and put it on his
maybe
team.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that needs to be articulated and promoted better.
Yeah.
But I don't I just
that is it. I think that is what he does.
Because even his catchphrase.
He's such a student.
Do your job.
It is what it is.
Bill. It is what it is. He doesn't even have a good catchphrase.
Well, but that's like I told you with the sound effects. And everybody was saying, you know, how great it was. You know, do your job on the sideline. And I'm like, no. What, it was the other stuff that he was telling them about.
Right.
The game plan. They're doing exactly what we told you they were going to be doing.
Right.
Slants and in cuts.
It was that version of that.
Yes, there was no surprises
guys.
Here.
We know what they're doing.
We know what they're doing.
No different plays.
I think that's his thing is preparation.
Yes.
Preparation. And then he doesn't call a timeout.
Yeah. Matthias from Denmark says, quick question for Andy.
Right, exactly.
Quick question for Andy. If Fred had actually died in the press box when Butler made the interception, would it have been a great story?
Yes.
Oh, God.
No.
Yes, it would have.
No, it would not
think
have.
They would have put it, who would have driven home?
That's a good question.
Who would have taken the keys?
You don't think
home?
That would have put a damper on the trip? Freddie. Would have put a damper on my trip.
But it still would have been a great story.
It would have put a damper on his trip because he would have had no one to drive him.
He went out watching what he loved.
He died the way he would have wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
Watching a Super Bowl win?
With an Orvis hat on his head and a Patriots win in the books, Fred Kirsch went out the way he dreamed.
Sure.
There it is, right there.
My little TV going.
Exactly.
I mean, which, by the way, I could get every affiliate except for NBC.
It happens almost every city we go to.
You couldn't get the game?
Yeah. I could get CBS, Fox.
You know
ABC.
Who loves that setup?
I couldn't get NBC.
And sometimes we go to like AFC East opponents, and he can't get CBS.
Right,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's usually in indoor stadiums that I have the trouble.
Beetle loves your little setup. raves about it all the time. Fred Kirsch's setup. That's the best. That's the best in-game setup.
But speaking of, we got to find a new Xbox One.
Yeah,
person,
did you have a call?
Huh?
From
Why? What
somebody?
Happened?
Did I have a call from someone?
Rumors are that he's going to be too busy.
It's not rumors.
It's not a rumor. It's
he's out.
What do you mean he's out?
I haven't heard any announcements.
He's taking over the midday show and he's taking over the postgame
show. I'll believe it when I see it in writing.
Okay, well, I can write it down for you.
It has been in writing.
I have a Sharpie right here if you want me to write it down.
The thing to say there would be, I'll believe it when I hear him on the radio in the midday slot, because it's been in writing already.
Well, you will. You'll hear him in the midday, and then come August, you'll hear him on the pre- and post-game show.
Has 98.5 come out with a press release announcing this yet?
I don't know.
Okay, that's when
it'll
be official.
Well, I don't get their press releases, so I don't...
If
I'm going to use it by that, then that's never going
to
happen.
And despite my efforts of trying to weasel our way into the postgame and pregame,
does not appear as if that's happened.
Even on the air, I said, isn't this great with Paul and I in studio? We should do this more often.
Gresh gave him a death stare.
He did give me a death stare.
Well, he's the guy that's out, right?
Right.
Yes.
That's the irony.
But my saying that, he's out already. I'm just looking out for myself now.
We didn't put anybody
no
out.
No point in all of us going down.
I did have a talk last Wednesday when I went to Felger and Maz with a potential replacement who is very interested, and definitely I said, you know, if we get to that point, we'll have him sit down and talk to you. And he
the
does
project?
Yes. He does a show, and I said that he could probably do it from here. He does a fantasy show before our show, and I said,
you might as well
probably
just say the name, because you've obviously painted the picture of who it is.
Rich Keefe.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you said the project.
I know, but then you said what show he does on Sunday before.
He does a fantasy show before our show would start, and he was a little concerned about that. I said, well, probably we could do it from the studio if we had to do it that way.
Maybe we fly in Jeff in Vegas and we have him do the show every weekend. I'm only kidding. God, you guys look at me like I'm really going to do that.
You think we thought you were really seriously going to bring in Jeff from Vegas?
Well, you looked at me like,
why would he come here? If he's living anything like the lifestyle he portrays,
trust me, if you're a Patriots fan, you'd want to be here. You don't get it. You're not a fan.
Paul started out a Patriots fan, and he's been here so long, he's not anymore.
You broke it out of me.
A couple more calls before we call it quits for today. James is in Morgantown. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Hey.
First-time caller, but I'm not a bandwagon fan. I've been listening for many years since the 2001 season.
Wow.
So are you actually in West Virginia, James? Morgantown, West Virginia?
Say again?
Is it Morgantown, West Virginia?
That's affirmative.
Oh, nice. So you probably haven't had internet since then, right?
Oh,
wow.
I moved here just a few years ago. I was in the military.
Thank you for your service.
There you go.
Well, thank you. I was in New Hampshire during the 2001 season and won tickets to Super Bowl 36 from a local radio station.
Nice.
So it was a sweet, sweet memory to be able to go and live through that experience. It was absolutely awesome. And but I grew up in New England, so I've been a New England fan for my whole life. And I just want to say, hey, thank you guys for the show you do. I love you, Fred. I love you, Andy. And Paul, I love you too.
I could feel it.
And Eric, I like you a lot.
No, he's playing the role of Julian Edelman today. He's our friend from Morgantown.
You guys do a great job. And, you know, I've been all across the country and around the world. I did actually write in one time during the 2007 season. I was over in Afghanistan, and you guys were nice enough to read my email on the phone, although you guys didn't agree with most of it. But he who we would not mention was the biggest...
douche?
Yeah, exactly. Wow. And although my fruition came out proper during that email, it was a reference to Seymour. But I just wanted to say, you know, I kind of agree with you guys. I kind of wanted to call in about the dynasty talk. And I think Fred hit it exactly right. The difference between our dynasty and all the rest were, you know, in the past, they were able to buy every best player at every position or close to that. And in this era, quarterbacks are obviously the most important. Coaches are the second most important. And having a combination thereof is, you know, obviously instrumental in any winning strategy. But I don't think we'll ever see a dynasty in what we've seen in the past 14 years is what we have with the New England Patriots.
Well, I'll never say never because there's always something. But you're right. It's incredible. It's an incredible run, and you got to appreciate it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I sat through the last couple, you know, Super Bowls. You know, I got down here living in Steeler Nation, and these fans are rabid. You gotta give them for that. But they are ass wipes.
Oh yeah.
But it's fun living down here, giving and getting all the razz. And it definitely, you know, is holding a lot of fruit right now with what we can boast. You know, we may not have six, but we're on our way. And, you know, it's just, it's amazing. And we got to be really thankful for everything that we've seen. And we got to be thankful for you guys, because like a lot of the callers have said previous to this, is you guys give us the days in and the days out, especially for us who don't get the local coverage that you get up there. You know, we get it from the internet and we get it from you guys, but it's just amazing. You know, I don't often get to listen live. Today I happen to have the day off and the time to call in, which is, again, a first-time caller. But it's instrumental to keep us involved and keep us excited about what's going on with the Patriots and everything like that. And we really appreciate it.
Well, thanks, James.
Thank you.
Very nice,
call
James.
In again.
Thank you.
One more call. Bob from Smithfield. He wasn't on the line
Bobby.
When we connected him last time.
Bobby.
Are you there, Bob?
I am. How are you guys doing?
Good.
You didn't die.
You're going to end the show, Bob.
Oh, super. So I just wanted to throw out the theory that Pete Carroll premeditated throwing the ball on the one, because if you look at the team, Marshawn Lynch grabbing his crotch, one guy pooping out a football, he's got Richard Sherman going on different rants. Like, who does he want to be MVP of the game? Who does he want to end
him
on?
He wants to win.
He wants Russell Wilson. I mean, you get to the half-yard line, you're 100% sure you're going to score. So, you know, give it to Russell Wilson, let him be MVP. I think it's kind of obvious, but I've never heard anybody throw that theory out there.
Yeah,
well,
that's
been out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's that conspiracy theory that he didn't want Lynch to be the guy. But
Michael Silver had a player, an unnamed player, that he says told him he believed that. The player believed.
Do you buy that?
Do I buy what?
That it was a conspiracy against Lynch?
No. I think Pete has won with a lot of dirtbags over the course of his career at USC and Seattle that I don't think he is this great, we got to have the poster child.
Now, the first part of Bob's statement I agree with. I think he premeditated throwing the football, because I think that if he wanted to run it on that down, he would have run it right away. He wouldn't have let 20 seconds go off the clock, 25 seconds.
Right.
So that's the whole – we had three plays. We had a timeout. We had to throw it on one of them.
Right.
That's where the premeditation comes in. He knew we had to throw it on one of them.
Yeah. You know what I hate? The three plays.
Yeah, I do too.
I only need one.
One.
Like, why are you thinking about the second and the third play? You only need one. You have the best back in football. You're, 18 inches away from glory. You don't think about the second and third play. Like he said, when you throw it, you don't think about it being intercepted. When you run it, you shouldn't think about not gaining a yard. You should think about, all I need is the one play to end this game. So he almost contradicts his own circular,
that's
weird
what,
logic.
When you listen to him talk about it, and that's the way you come away, that's the impression you get, it makes it even worse.
Right.
The more time has gone by, I figured I would sort of say, you know what, maybe after all, I'm waiting for someone to show me something that says, after all, you know, it wasn't that egregious an error. You know, like Grady Little leaving and Pedro Martinez in 2003. You can look at it and say, it was Pedro Martinez.
Right.
He stayed with the best pitcher of his generation, a future Hall of Famer. Was it the wrong thing to do? Yes. But you can understand it.
Right.
In retrospect, you can understand. He put his faith in a guy who had done it for him so many times.
This is the opposite.
This is getting worse.
He took the faith out of the guy who'd done it for him a million times.
As 10 days have passed now, 9 or 10 days, whatever it's been, it's getting worse. The decision is worse now.
Just real quick, I think we should thank our listeners and callers. This has been the opposite of 2007. You notice we got a lot of first-time caller, been listening for years. I decided it's the opposite. They won the Super Bowl, and now everybody feels like, woohoo, let's celebrate.
Plus, they're watching every little thing on TV.
Right, right.
I mean, we had a blackout after 2007.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So it's a
Bob,
little different.
Bob, anything else before we say goodbye?
I just wanted to thank you guys. You are my off-season Patriots fix. So I'll be listening in every day that you're on, and really appreciate what you guys do.
Well, thank you, Bob.
And don't forget this Open a Slot talk, too. Yeah. We got plenty of that.
And we got some weird talk.
We will continue to be here throughout the offseason every Tuesday and Thursday at noon. We're going to get more into the Combine. Paul and Andy are going to be leaving soon for that. When are you leaving?
Tuesday.
This Tuesday.
Yeah.
A week from today.
Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah, if we can get out. Right.
There's like six snowstorms scheduled between now and then.
All right, so we'll have a lot of stuff coming up, and you'll be contributing to the web this week with information.
Of course.
All right, and Eric too?
Sure.
All right, so we'll see you on Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.